talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Absolutely amazing. But under the right circumstances, a producer could make more money with a flop than he could with a hit.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Come here.
Don't shoot.
Don't shoot? You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard. Jesus Christ, I've met some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all. Get over there.
What's your name?
Well, my name is Jim. Most people call me Jim.
Okay, Jim. Since you are my guest and I am your host, what are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Oh, I don't know. Play chess? Screw.
Well, let's play chess.
And now,
from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
Who is that?
What a delight to my ears.
It's Tuesday morning, August 30th.
Who just... Roland, is that you?
Know.
What's happening? Who just took over?
It is a lovely sound. Not sure I recognize it.
What?
Do we start at 5:30 every day?
We do.
This sucks.
Yeah. It's gross.
We should do less of that.
Agreed.
Well, I'm disappointed that I already lost money on today's show.
How did you? You never even bet. Ever.
Chip and I were going over the various things that were likely to happen in the first 5 minutes of today's show. And the fact that you're here is one of them. I already lost money for that.
Okay.
Chip had you coming in at 5:35, by the way, and you stunned the world by showing up at 5:31.
I'm not positive that I stunned the world.
You did.
Okay. Everyone's talking about it.
5:31 is so early for you.
Yeah, it's a waste of
it's
my time.
So early.
It was.
I had you losing your key card. I had you no way you're going to be able to find your key card after 3 months off. I thought for sure.
Right.
I would have bet against me on that one, too. How did that happen, by the way? Did you just leave it in your car or something?
No, I thought that I remembered putting it someplace, and then I went there and it was there. But had it not been, which is what happens most of the time, then I never have a plan B. Like, I never go, oh, there's another place maybe I put it. If it's not there, I just get another one. That's how it works. But it was there. It was there today.
Again, recapping, Kevin and I were hired on the same day. How many key cards have you been through?
Oh, honestly, I don't know. I would guess.
Like a dozen, right?
Oh, no. I would guess 25 or 30. I mean, seriously.
I'm on the original one. I've still got the same one.
Shut up. You don't show up.
How about you?
You don't need a card.
I have the same one.
The same one? Chip?
Yeah.
Okay. I've had one break, so I've had two.
Oh, I see. Yeah, mine broke too then.
All of them?
20 times.
Yes, 20 times.
And then the third bet was we all lost, which was that the last song that we were going to play before you came on would be by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And in fact, it was. So we were all right. We all picked that one correctly. Because, you know, there's a 50-50 chance.
Right, sure.
If you're showing up, it's got to be likely to be Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sure. It's in his contract, I think, right?
So you remembered how to get here?
I did, yes. Sure.
You gassed in your car this morning when you got up?
I was surprised as you.
Yeah.
You could... I looked at it and I was like, hey, gas. All right.
You dressed yourself like a big
cool.
boy?
I don't know. I guess.
It's you remember big... to set your alarm last night when
yes,
you went to bed?
I did that, yes.
This is amazing.
How about it?
Kevin's a big boy.
It's a new me.
He's growing up. Our little boy's growing up, you guys.
Here's the thing, Kevin. We joke, but it felt like you were gone extra long this time.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that to me.
I know it didn't. I know it didn't. But it was because it was like a random Thursday, Friday that
right.
started it. So that threw us all off. It felt like you were gone for 3 weeks.
Mm.
But you weren't.
But is that good or is it bad?
We missed you,
trying
Kevin.
Trying to judge. Okay.
Chip, yes.
Chip?
What?
Honest answer.
No.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. That's why I like Chip, because she's honest.
Chip.
A lot of listeners were convinced that something nefarious was going on that we just weren't sharing. I mean, it got to the point after a few days where people were like, look, I was buying the vacation BS at first, but now, seriously,
yeah,
why aren't you telling us the truth? And it started to get violent, to tell you the truth. People started to get very angry that we were withholding important information. Look, if he's dead, we'd like to send a card. You know, is there a memorial service? Come on.
Just somebody please be honest. Well, I'm sure that you stoked those fires being like you do on the second day I was gone by saying I was dead. I mean, that's just the way you roll.
He didn't this time, probably why people found it weird.
Then
you weren't tweeting
something.
Became a big thing. People were like, he hasn't tweeted 9 days. People were monitoring your Twitter, Kevin.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. People pay close attention to Kevin.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe the thinking was, oh, Kevin's on vacation. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to post a photo of him being at a place or doing a thing.
But I don't really ever...
You never do that, right?
...do that when I'm on vacation. I do that when I go to a concert or a show or something. Mm-hmm. Well, but I don't ever do that on vacation. I don't like any of you.
When you went to Spain, though, when you went to Spain and did all that soccer BS, you posted photos of that.
That was pretty spectacular, though.
Yeah. So that's what everybody was expecting. Yeah, if Kevin were alive, we'd know it.
Gotcha.
But then again, if it was a big conspiracy and we were hiding it, we would have hired somebody to put out a bunch of tweets.
And then take them down and spell them
take
correctly.
Take them down, set them back
right.
up.
Bad
links. But, we had, what was the best conspiracy theory? That he actually died in Brazil during the World Cup?
Right.
You were cloned. Cloned Kevin just wasn't here.
I feel like you have enough audio of me saying stuff that Bean could probably make it sound like I'm here for a long, long time.
Probably. Yeah,
then there were those who were convinced that Ralph was just doing you as one of his characters, and it was the greatest long con of all time. So it's funny because it's not like we ever threw it out there. It's not like we actually started a discussion on it. It was just people were contacting us about it with their theories. They were thinking about it more than we were.
Because we knew you were on vacation.
Right. And when you say they, how many people was it? Like
3,000?
I mean, it came up frequently. I heard from people we know, Kevin, who, you know, would email or DM and go, hey, if it's okay to say anything, is Kevin all right? You know, for reals. Yeah.
Wow. So, that's weird.
Yeah. Well, he made it, ladies and gentlemen. He's back.
Or is he?
Or is he, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I mean, I'm all in. All in. Everything. Whole deal. My family's all in. So I just want you to know that. Want you to understand that.
I'm glad his family's all in. I was very worried about that.
Yeah.
I knew we had him, but not his family necessarily. Comedian Felipe Esparza will be in the program today. We have Jim Adkins from a little band called Jimmy Eat World.
Man, he's a talented guy.
He sure is.
Like him so much.
Got a world premiere of a brand new song. We have the Bachelor in Paradise report with Petros Papadakis.
Programming note, a little earlier than usual because of guests on the schedule. It'll be at 7:30 instead of 8 o'clock today, so make a note of it.
We're giving away tickets for Breakfast with Sting, and it says here, Kevin Blowhums the hits.
Yep.
That's right.
Sure does.
That's where I try to whistle songs, but I can't whistle.
Right.
Right.
And we're doing that today?
Yes, we
That's
are.
That's right.
You didn't vote against it.
I didn't vote against it, yeah. I don't check my email either, so I didn't vote against it. And the great Henry Winkler on the program today.
Come on.
How about that?
Love him so much.
We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Ralph Garman, have you met the new guy?
No.
This is Kevin. Kevin, this is Ralph.
Hold on, let me get...
Oh, he's coming over to shake his
hand. Shake
hands.
Good. That's
nice. That is really gentlemanly.
He didn't hug me. Yeah. Usually does this, and he's coming to be inescapable hug.
It's not an inescapable
forced assault hug.
It's not forced.
It's an assault hug. It's usually it's usually for the women only.
How?
The women.
Dare you?
Have you seen the panic in their eyes, Ralph, when he comes in after him?
I'm just like,
you guys started making fun of me for that. So when guests come in now, I'm afraid to even go anywhere on that half of the room.
You should
oh,
be.
No.
I don't want to get anywhere near them.
Because no means no, Kevin.
How dare you?
Anyway, Ralph is a guy who comes in and says funny things about this time every hour.
Right.
So let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Got nothing funny to say about this as we heard of Gene Wilder's passing yesterday. That's touching. Do you always have to play the tuba of death? Can there ever be like a modicum of sort of respect or solemnity as we say goodbye to legends.
Here's the thing, though, and I've had people on Twitter and different places email me and ask, you know, how insensitive. He does it automatically for every person who dies.
You know what? He didn't do it for Bowie.
Oh, I see.
Wow, somebody's got a memory.
No, I remembered because I took
because Alexander waiting for the
stop. No, I because there are certain people that I'm like, oh, not the doom of death. Gene Wilder would be one.
Yeah,
but David Bowie was another, and he didn't. And I was strangely proud that day.
Wow,
he is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
That's true.
I think it's because Bowie was played a lot on the radio, so there was some sort of radio connection there.
Yeah,
you know, so.
So it happens.
But Gene Wilder passed away. It's hard to overstate the level of talent and brilliance that this man possessed. He was truly unique, and that is an overused term, especially when it comes to actors and comedians. But from the very first time he appeared on screen for a lot of people in Bonnie and Clyde, he made an endless impression and then went on to work in films like The Producers, his first major movie role, and he won an Academy Award nomination for that. He was so spectacular in it. And, of course, Young Frankenstein and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is a favorite memory of a lot of folks, but he went on to be very funny in Blazing Saddles and Stir Crazy in so many feature films. It's just, by all accounts, just a remarkably kind, gentle, and sort of special person to his friends and family as well, even beyond his work as a performer. So it is sad news yesterday that he passed away at 83. Family saying from complications of Alzheimer's disease, which he was battling with, or his family said coexisting with, for the past 3 years or so. But
Ralph, what was the deal with Mr. Wilder walking away from show business 25 years ago, essentially?
He had an assful, I think.
Yeah, he said he didn't like the business anymore. He loved the show of it, but wasn't
didn't like
into
the way
the business.
Things worked. Didn't like the people that he was working with and the nature of comedy and then what he had to do in order to perform, and he had enough. He said, I did what I did, and I was happy with it.
He sure did plenty.
Yeah. His last big performance was in Will and Grace. He won an Emmy for his guest role on that TV series back in 2003. So really hadn't been 25 years, more like 13 years.
I guess movies, you know.
But he did stage after he stopped doing movies. He appeared in a lot in his home in Stamford, Connecticut. He did a series of one-act farces, and was active for a while. Loved to paint. He was a big painter, so he spent the remainder of his years doing that.
I know he wrote a lot of books, too.
He did. And he was famously, of course, married to Gilda Radner, devastated by her death from ovarian cancer in 1989, but did marry again in 1991 to a lovely woman named Karen Boyer, and she was his last wife and was with him at the end of his life.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
I don't believe that is in his bio. But he did a great many things, including make a lot of people happy. So, sad news that Gene Wilder has passed.
Oh, I hate that guy right there.
No, you don't. Even you, Alex Jones, don't hate him.
A prancing demon. A Nelly, feminine, con artist.
He was neither.
Preying on people, and it makes you want to throw up.
None of those things.
The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
No.
Did you miss him?
I think you're thinking
Kevin.
About Carrot Top.
He's committed to Satan.
He's committed to Satan?
He loves betraying people. He gets off on it.
Allie, Adele's living in Calabasas.
I know.
Do you have a...
Oh, I didn't know it was Calabasas.
Home? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Bel Air.
No, she's got a place in Calabasas, apparently.
I'm surprised you don't have the address already.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't
have
it.
Well, I have the one in Bel Air.
Okay. Have it mapped out.
Wow.
That's why the people in Bel Air weren't coming out when you were standing in front of their house singing hello.
Hello.
For hours.
Hello. Stop. I'm in the Ferengi.
Nope.
She's got a neighbor. One of her new neighbors wanted to invite her over for dinner. But she wanted. She had to decline. That neighbor? Kris Jenner. And, of course, the cameras would have been rolling for Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, she has no time for that.
And Adele was like, you know what? That's just not for me.
I'm surprised she didn't move immediately.
That's not my style. So she has declined the offer to be filmed for a reality show for the benefit of the Kardashians. Another reason to love Adele. Hello, I'm in the field. Or whatever the F he said that night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. What a great day. August 30th is. Louis Black, 68 years old today. one of my personal heroes. Just, if you've never seen Lou Black live in concert, do yourself a favor. There's very few stand-ups working today who make me choke with laughter, like doubled over, can't breathe laughing. And Lou Black does that for me. Michael Chiklis, our buddy Chicky Baby.
Love him.
He's 53 years old today, and actress Cameron Diaz is 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 1 hour away from us inviting you to call to win tickets for Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
It's happening tomorrow, by the way, at 8 a.m. down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space here at Kerrick. We got that for you. Also, Petros Papadakis previews the college football season and an all-new Bachelor in Paradise report all coming up on Kerrick.
First time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. You can call on any topic.
Kevin, I miss you, Kevin. Where you go, baby? Daddy miss you, Kevin. Come there. Come back to puppy. I miss you so. I miss you, Kevin.
How sweet.
That is really lovely.
Is that sweet?
Yeah, he missed you.
No, 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 no!
What do you think he's calling about?
It's probably his roommate. Didn't want me back. Beer Mug, apparently while I was gone, inflicted his views of manscaping on you poor people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed the great Beer Mug Explains where he told us why it's unhealthy.
Hey, it's me. Hey, so I called the Afro line. So does that mean I'm talking to Beer Mug's junk? Because he's got an Afro? Because he doesn't know how to skate? Skate your grapes, bro.
By the way, we didn't have time to get into it, but apparently Beer Mug's fiancé took a naked picture of him.
Oh, no, no, no.
No?
I mean, no.
Oh,
I
yeah.
hope not. No.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yep.
And started sharing it with people, which to me seemed against his wishes, which to me seems like the very definition of revenge porn. And Dave apparently saw it, and his eyes won't stop weeping. Apparently it's seared into his brain, and he cries every time he thinks about it. So there are multiple crimes being committed here, not just Beer Mug's choice of manscaping.
Apparently, I did call from vacation.
K-Rock, what was...
Oh.
So that happened.
Checking in.
Yeah. Would you like to take that back theme?
Sure.
Would you like to take that back?
Put your finger in my... Put your finger in my... Tell me what you could you, should you put your finger in my... Put your finger in my... Put your finger in my... Tell me what you could do, try to put your finger in my...
Catherwood is going to be so sad he didn't think of that first.
You know how Bean says, hit it, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever Steve is hits something and some audio is played?
Sure.
Hey, Steve, how about you come over here and hit it? Giggity.
Steve.
He's got a little bit of a fan club nice. Out there.
He's got some action. I love
nice.
It.
Nice.
This guy likes a certain type, a certain body part.
Boobies. 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 Boobies, 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 boobies. 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 Boobies.
Is that a good use of the Afro line right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. We don't really like jokes and people telling jokes because most of the time people can't tell jokes well.
Hey, guys, what would you call someone who works on a farm who has sex with Adele? Farmer in Adele. Get it? You don't get it.
Oh, we get it.
Yeah, we do get that. Thank you.
Well, it's been about half a decade or so, and just thought I'd let you know. You guys smell like Flintstone fruit snacks with doo-doo on it.
Oh, no. That's not the doo-doo guy, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
What is happening?
He called 250,000 times before Omar even told us about him.
Oh,
yeah. And then we were like, why don't you start saving some of those? Uh-huh. And he would call relentlessly.
Every day.
Years, many, many, many times. Yeah.
And just say, and doo-doo on it?
That's how
end?
Everything ended.
Okay. Like Triumph, the dog. He would always right. end with to poop on. Never mind.
Right. Do you guys remember when Muggs went to Shake Shack and was eating with his mouth full?
Oh, jeez.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, we have a request.
Hey, everybody. Hey, I'm drunk. Okay, so it's been a long time, I feel like, since we've heard Allie and Beer Mug's sexual escapades. And it would make this drunk person really happy if I could hear that. again, even though I won't hear it now. But if you play it, I'll get drunk again, and then I can listen to it then. Hit it, Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Don't sound sexy.
So that's all bad, right?
I didn't miss that at all.
Occasionally, Bean will breathe a little heavier than normal, and occasionally people will notice.
And now here is my impression of a typical day with Bean. So today on the Kevin and Bean show, we have the showbiz Bean.
Look, what did I say? I enjoy air.
That's a good point.
Bean just loves air too much.
I do love air.
And we have a request.
Oh, my God. We need a mashup of Bean breathing and Allie moaning.
Oh,
hit
for
it,
the
Steve.
Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, God.
Mm. Yeah. Oh,
smell it.
That's sexy.
No.
Super cool. And sexy. Super sexy cool.
Can we get a Bean breathing with Ally McKay Moni remix, please? Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Smell.
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
I hate you guys so much.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Got to talk to the great Henry Winkler coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. I think he's one of my five favorite celebrities of all time, by the way.
Really?
Henry Winkler. I do love him.
So yeah, Weird Al at number one.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have time to get into all that, but I will say it's always a thrill when Mr. Winkler joins us on the program, so that's coming up. First, though, Kevin, you when you were on vacation, you did or did not watch the news?
Well, in general,
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Oh, that's right.
And when I'm on vacation, I watch it even less.
That is hard to believe.
Difficult, yeah. Considering I don't watch it at all to begin with.
Well, there's been a fascinating story going on in Utah right now. You've heard of Warren Jeffs. I'm sure that name sounds familiar to you. He's in prison right now because he was in a fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, kind of a shoot-off branch of the Mormons, where he married a whole bunch of teenagers. Okay, so he's in jail now because not all of them were strictly legal in terms of age.
Okay.
So he's in jail. So his brother took over this sect of the church now, and his name is Lyle Jeffs. And he is on trial right now for a big food stamp scam where he went to thousands and thousands and thousands of Mormon members of his church and got them to give him his food stamps so that he could cash them in somehow and use the money to buy cars and things like that. So bad deal, bad dude, okay? He's on the lam right now. He had house arrest waiting for trial, and apparently he used olive oil or something like that to get out of the bracelet, on the ankle bracelet, and he is in the wind right now.
So he escaped, and he left the bracelet in his house, but they know it immediately when that happens, right?
I don't think they did. I think they saw the bracelet in his house, thought he was there, but then when it was time for him to show up at court, he wasn't there. But his attorney was, and his attorney had a fascinating explanation as to where his client was. And we wanted to find out more about this. Nathan Hormitt is on the phone right now. He's a member of Mr. Lyle Jeff's legal team. Mr. Hormitt, welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Lyle Jeff's, as of this morning, still has not been located.
That's correct.
And don't you have...
The court has asked us to present Mr. Jeff's. And as we have informed the court many times, we are not currently aware of his whereabouts, and we have no idea where he is currently.
Right. You have a responsibility, though, as an officer of the court, to produce your client to stand trial.
The court? Yes, we are well aware of that responsibility, but at the same time, we are not currently aware of his whereabouts, and so there's no way we could present that information or Mr. Jeff to the court.
Okay, so when you were asked where your client was, what did you say in court, sir?
Well, I simply said what I said to you, basically, which is we are not aware of his whereabouts and whether he escaped or whether he was taken against his will. We're not sure. Or, of course, perhaps he experienced the miracle of the rapture.
Wait.
Taken against his will. So you're saying he may have been kidnapped?
Wait, Kevin, you missed where he said experienced the miracle of rapture.
Oh, no, that was after.
Glad you're back, Kevin.
No, that's...
So that's one of the actual...
We're going to get to that.
That's one of the actual... Yeah, but that's the bit. That's one of the actual...
Somebody's got to tell me that's the bit. How am I supposed to know?
Well, I would think it'd be pretty obvious if someone said they had the rapture, they disappeared because of the rapture, that might be the thing you focus on.
Let me make a note.
Yeah.
Look at the headline of the article that we got. Dear fugitive FLDS leader...
is not like the other.
Get swept up by the rapture. That's the title of the article you're reading from.
I see.
Well,
okay.
He was kidnapped? No, that's not what we're focusing on. It's the fact that I said that maybe he went up to God.
I see.
Into heaven with the rapture.
I see.
Which
okay.
is crazy.
Right. Jason, it's an insane thing to say with a straight face in front of a judge.
Wait, is that why we're talking to you?
But I'm standing by it.
I see. Yeah. You're standing, but was the judge having any of it?
He didn't seem to like that answer so much.
Well, because... yes.
What are you going to do? If God calls you, you got to go. It's not like you have a choice.
Right, but clearly you can look around and see that Mr. Jeffs is the only person missing, so it's not the rapture.
It could have been a mini rapture.
Just the one dude?
Yes, that is another religious phenomenon known as the mini rapture, where just one guy gets...
Well, I've never heard of that, ever.
Well, it's in the book of Lyle.
The book of Lyle.
Book of Lyle. Well, so what, I mean, what could have happened to him? Where is Lyle Jeffs?
You're not listening.
Now you're not getting it. It's the rapture.
More than likely is what I'm saying is probably God took him.
Okay.
Your Honor, or your radio-ness.
Oh my God.
Your DJ hood.
Right, right. All right, so God took him.
God took him
right
up to heaven.
Right.
And God took his bracelet off. Because God does not allow bracelets in heaven or anklets of it. No jewelry of any kind.
Is that right? I didn't
really?
Know that was a rule.
Even earrings?
And no earrings.
Okay.
No. It's in the book of Deuteronomy.
I think it's Deuteronomy.
That is a different book.
Oh.
And it says that God saith unto the wearers of the jewelry, leavest thou behind any sort of home tracking devices thou mightest have on thou ankles.
Oh, wow. That's very, it seems very, very specific.
It's very, very specific.
So God is saying basically to Lyle Jeffs, hey, why don't you come over to my house for a while? And so I think the court should just let him go. Cause,
that's what
you
think.
Because God, right?
Because God. And you are a real attorney?
Well, define real.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
All right, so your tickets for Breakfast with Sting coming up. Petros Papadakis previews the college football season. We got the Bachelor in Paradise report, all of that just next hour. And then the great Jim Atkins will be here from Jimmy Eat World. By the way, real quick before we go to our next guest here, you listen, Allie, to any of Jim Atkins' solo records that he's been putting out?
I have not.
Really fun, really good stuff. Doing something completely different after 20-something years with Jimmy Eat World. Now he's decided he's going to do...
bluegrass.
It's really
weird.
Well, I don't know that I'm not sure that it's bluegrass.
No, Kevin, I just said it's
bluegrass. I don't think it's bluegrass.
It's bluegrass,
that's
though.
What I heard a guy on the radio say.
But it was you, Kevin. You're the one who said that. Anyway, it's very different and very
it's
fun.
Polka?
Very different.
I don't think it is different.
Is that different or is that different, Bean?
That's not what's happening here. But the point is, Jim Atkins is going to be
it's
here.
It's dubstep.
And he will be talking about that with him, and he also will be bringing a brand new song from Jimmy Eat World. That's all coming up this morning here on the Kevin Show. There's a lot of show, is what I'm saying. Don't judge the program by what you've heard in the first hour. I'm saying we're ramped up now, and we're ready to go. It's going to be good.
All right, now I have a question because I have a funny story from my vacation, but I don't want to tell it if Henry's on hold and they're talking to him in the other room. I don't want him to hear the story.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So do I tell it or not? Okay, I'll tell it really fast.
Okay.
Hopefully he won't be on hold yet.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm standing in New York City.
You can't say that on the radio. What are you even...
I was just...
Why would you say that?
I was just quote... You can't quote a guy?
You can't say... Why would you...
Because
why would
it
you
was
tell,
funny.
Why would you tell a story with a punchline, essentially, that none of the audience heard? We couldn't
because
put that on the radio.
Because that's what the guys... We can't say that now!
Did you
how radio works?
What are you talking about?
Things have changed, man. I don't like the new us.
You couldn't say that when you left. That hasn't changed. That's always been the case. You're not allowed to say that on the radio.
But Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong. That's a funny story.
Yeah, it's a funny story to tell off the air with your friends.
I see. So not on the air.
Not appropriate for on the air.
What did you say to him?
Just laughed. There's really nothing you can say. But I sent my daughter away. He seemed like he deserved it.
Oh,
you know?
God. All right. Listen, while we're waiting for...
I love just Bean go, oh, my God.
Mr. Winkler is on the line.
Okay, good.
Thank God he didn't
hear
that.
That's what I was saying.
I wish I could have not heard that. The great Henry Winkler joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Winkler, you didn't hear what Kevin just said, but I just want to apologize that you were even on the phone being connected to us while that conversation was happening.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did he say it in words, or was it a bodily noise?
No, he said it in words that are unfit for human ears, Mr. Winkler.
Exactly. You cannot unhear it.
Right. You cannot hear it. Yeah.
And I had to just share the pain. I can't hold that into myself.
All right, can I just say this?
Yes, yes.
I am so excited to be with Kevin and Bean again.
Come on.
Again.
Come on. Henry, how about that? Sweetest man in the world.
Think about this. At the beginning of my career, I was on the show with you guys.
All right. All right. We get it. We get it. We're old, too. We understand, Henry. That's fine. The new program... Yes, go ahead, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still enjoying yourselves?
Yes. Well, I mean, we were. We were until the story I just told.
How long have you been together on the air?
We started the first day of 1990.
1990.
Yeah,
right. So we're in our 27th year doing the show.
Holy mackerel!
And better than ever.
Pretty amazing for anything.
Right, but it's nothing compared to you. You're a guy who's had a career for over 40 years, right?
Yes, that is true, and I'm still walking without any kind of aluminum.
I can't believe you're 70. When I watched last week's episode of Henry's new show,
but I'm
serious. You're 70 years old, and you seem like you're not only still healthy, you're still sharp, and more importantly, Henry, I feel like you're enjoying your life as much as you ever have. Am I wrong?
That is absolutely the truth. I am. This show, Better Late Than Never, I've said it before, it is like a gift that fell out of the heaven into my lap. We got five guys, Terry Bradshaw, Bill Shatner, George Foreman, Jeff Dye, a stand-up comic who's traveled all over America, and me. Mm-hmm. Six cities, four countries, five cameras, never stopping, and we experienced things I never thought I would do, I never thought I would see, I never thought I would eat.
I'm sorry? Especially that. I mean, look, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, but they're effed up in Asia, right?
Well, you know what? They don't waste.
They don't waste. They eat every part of an animal.
They eat every part. Last week, I had pork vagina that stayed in my mouth for about 3/4 of a second.
That's worse than my story.
I just never thought I'd hear Henry Winkler say that. I'm not going to lie.
I never
thought that it would touch my tongue.
Yeah. Did you eat dirt also, Henry?
There is a restaurant in Tokyo that has a Michelin star, that has one of the greatest awards any restaurant can get, a Michelin star. Mm-hmm. And his main ingredients was dirt that he would dig from 70 meters down outside of Tokyo. He made ice cream, the steak sauce, the gravy for the potatoes, and it was delicious.
Really?
Yes. Tonight, however,
Henry, they lied to you. That he's not making. He's
to
not making.
Waterboard me with cow penis soup.
I'm sorry. All right, now we're just playing Mad Libs.
I'm sorry I interrupted. So on tonight's episode, they waterboard you.
They wanted me. Bill Shatner wanted me to be part of the culture, and it's very good for the circulation. Let me just tell you, my circulation is still crap.
Hey, I want to ask you about Bill. He's 85 years old, and
amazing.
Like, it's amazing. It really is. His stamina is incredible. He is such a curious person. Didn't he seem to you like a guy who's fascinated with everything?
And not only that, he wants you to know what is fascinating him at that moment.
He's a talker. All right. He doesn't shut up. I get it. How long were you on the road?
Did you say talker?
Yes, talker. Yes.
You are a talker. He is in another class all by himself.
Yeah. He wouldn't shut up.
That,
but that's what you're saying.
He's very dear and really smart and sharp as a tack.
He
remembers everything. When you said stamina, when we were at Mount Fuji, you have to climb 600 steps. He ran up the first two flights.
At 85 years old.
What a show-off,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's my response.
Well, yes, he's also a show-off.
Okay.
But I will say, when you get past that and you look at him, he's pretty amazing.
Henry, do you feel like these men, Terry Bradshaw, George Foreman, William Shatner, do you feel like you are friends now?
I do. Terry Bradshaw has the heart the size of Oklahoma. I don't know if I can express this correctly on radio, but he sat down and he told us a story about him moving his team, the Steelers,
yes,
to winning the Super Bowl. It was the last play. He had to move them down the entire field. He didn't quite know what to do. They did not send in a play from the sideline. And as he's telling us this story, you watch this kind of, oh, my golly, gee, oh, Lord, hey, listen up, America. You saw this guy transform into the quarterback, and he marched us down play by play, joke by joke, because he would kid with his huddle in order to keep them loose. And they went on and won their fourth Super Bowl.
Wow. And you just feel like you're a witness to history when you're hearing a story like that from the man who was there, who engineered it.
George, I mean,
that's fun. Yeah, his stories.
After 10 years after the Rumble in the Jungle, he passed out in his dressing room after a fight in Puerto Rico. And the man literally faced death. He believes he died. He smelled it. It smelled like something he has never smelled before. Bill Shatner said, George, it's impossible. There's no scientific reason. You should have died. You're here now. I said, Bill.
I'm sorry, Henry, is that your impression of William Shatner?
Not only that, it's pitch perfect.
You nailed it. Right. You nailed it. You did.
Just wanted to make sure I was on the same page.
I nailed it.
You did. You did.
I'm putting the hammer down.
Well, listen, I know we're out of time. You have four.
Let me
go ahead. Yes.
Can I just say something?
Please. Of course.
I keep on interrupting you this entire interview, but I want to say, first of all, I am so happy to chat with the three of you. I've always had a great time in the show. I promise you, you will laugh tonight at 10 o'clock, right after America's Got Talent, with Better Late Than Never.
NBC, 10 o'clock tonight, four legends, 300 years old between the four of them.
One legend bigger than the others.
And that's you, of course, Mr. Winkler.
Yes, that's me.
Right, there we go. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
It is 6:53. Ralph Garman's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning, and then right after that, we'll tell you how you can join us for our Breakfast with Sting tomorrow. Good morning, Ralph.
Anybody who loves comedy and loves acting is mourning still as we process the information about the death of Gene Wilder yesterday. He was a unique performer in the sense that never bad, always brilliant. Even in lesser films, his work was exceptional. Probably most people know him either from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which was a performance that left an impression on those of us who watched it as kids that was everlasting. I mean, you cannot separate that guy from that role and from how impactful that movie was for a lot of us. And then as we got older, maybe we watched Gene Wilder in the brilliant films he did with Mel Brooks, starting with a movie called The Producers. This is the story. If you've never seen The Actual Producers, it was made into a musical with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane. But if you've never seen the original film, The Producers is the story of two men who decide that they can actually make more money by by producing a failed Broadway show than they can by producing a hit, because they sell shares of the show to a bunch of unsuspecting rich old ladies, and they keep all the money because the show closes immediately. It's a genius plan, except it goes awry when the show actually is so bad it becomes great and people start going and it becomes a hit. And his work as Leo Bloom, the mild-mannered accountant who is prone to fits of hysteria, is one of the comic performances of the ages. Here's a little scene from that film. It's Zero Mostel, Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder is hysterical. He's so upset he can't get control of himself. So Zero Mostel proceeds to splash him in the face with a glass of water, which does not help, and then slap his face. He tries all the things that you're supposed to do to get someone from stopping hysterical, and it just all backfires. Here's a little scene of the late, great Gene Wilder from The Producers. Nothing works. Boy, nobody did Mania better than Gene Wilder. Nobody went from 0 to 60 funnier than the late Gene Wilder, who passed away yesterday at his home in Stamford, Connecticut at 83. So he will be missed. Let's move on to less important things. Dancing with the Stars!
All right!
Finally, the cast has been revealed for season 23 of Dancing with the Stars. Please never, never forget Dancing with the Stars, the television show that Kevin Bean said would never work, would never last.
We did. We openly mocked the producers when they came on to tell us they were putting a show on American TV that featured celebrities ballroom dancing.
Season 23.
Yes. Once again, our instincts are unerring.
Begins soon. I don't know when. September 12th.
It begins when the BIP ends.
That's very possible. Anyway, here's your cast.
They're
going to be dancing. These people are going to be dancing.
Truman Ford. Hughes.
Truman Ford Hughes.
Disney.
Disney is not going
to. Jobs.
Nuts.
West.
No.
Boba Fett.
Was someone running a 16mm projector behind Kanye as he was listing those names off? That was strange. Lori Hernandez is going to be dancing.
Hernandez. She's tremendous.
I'm so glad she's right on the show.
Does anyone have any idea who Lori Hernandez is?
I got nothing for
Isn't
you.
She a gymnast? No.
Is she?
She one of the Fearless Five, Fantastic Five, the Fab Five?
I thought so. Hold on.
Fantastic Five, the Fantabulous Five.
She is indeed the gymnast.
Look at that. And she's the one with the giant eyes, right? She's the one that looks like one of those paintings of the kid holding a kitten.
They aren't small.
They're massive.
Okay.
She's got eyes like an owl. But she's attractive. Marsha. Marsha Brady. Maureen McCormick will be dancing.
Okay. The Son of Flubber?
No, Son of Flubber didn't make it. Mm. That's a movie, by the way, not a person.
Charlie Manson.
Manson, he was supposed to, but he's...
they denied his parole.
That's what happened. Mm.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Tara Jolie?
This is the Dancing with the Stars list, Ralph.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the Dancing with the Nobodies list. This is my bad. I apologize.
Now, who's she, Ralph?
I don't know! Who knows who Tara Jolie is?
Well, I feel like there should be some sort of guide.
She's
Angelique. Tara Jolie?
Is she related to Angelique?
No.
It's not Jolie. It's J-O-L-E. It's either Joel or Jolie. Jolie. Tara.
The cast of Little Women LA.
What happened?
She's
a little person?
Yeah.
Wow, it's Dancing with the Oddities now on the show.
I'm in.
Kevin's already interested. Marilu Henner.
Okay.
Who will not only dance, but she'll be able to tell you exactly when she danced and who she danced with 20 years from now, which is going to come in handy.
She's an actress, for folks who don't recognize the name. Radio host, author.
Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Running around stabbing people.
Yes.
Running around stabbing people. Remember, he stabbed all those people?
That's what I heard. Realized.
Guy on the radio said once.
That guy's an idiot.
Calvin Johnson.
Wow.
Calvin Johnson.
From the NFL?
From the NFL. Wide receiver, yeah. Huh. Jake T. Austin. Jake T. Austin. I don't know who Jake T. Austin, but I'm assuming he's a Disney. I think maybe a Disney star from the Disney Channel. Jake T. Austin?
Jake T. Austin.
I get a vibe. I'm getting a Disney hit here. I'm getting
Wizards
a whiff of Disney.
Waverly Place?
Wizards of Waverly Place. There you go. Babyface.
Oh. Singer-songwriter?
Oh, it's not Babyface Nelson, the old gangster?
That would be great.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Peggy Noonan.
Peggy Noonan did not make the cut. James Hinchcliffe. James
Come
Hinchcliffe.
On, Ralph. What are you doing?
You're playing a joke on us, right?
James Hinchcliffe. This is either a list of people who are going to be on Dancing with the Stars or a list of characters that I've done in bad voice bits
right.
over the past year. James
he is
Hinchcliffe.
An Indy car driver.
He's an Indy car driver. Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Amber Rose. Here's a name okay. we all recognize.
All right.
I like her. I like Amber Rose. Steve. Philly girl. Steve didn't make it. Rick Perry.
Former governor of Texas?
You heard me. Former wannabe president of the United States.
Right.
Rick Perry.
That's an odd choice.
Pearl Ozweski. Nope. Jana Kramer. Jana Kramer. She's a country music singer.
Okay.
But you may know her best as the nationwide ninja. Remember those commercials where if the thieves came into your house and they stole your stuff, there'd be a real hot girl flipping around replacing everything before they even
barely.
Got out the door?
Just barely.
Nationwide is on your side.
Okay.
Jana Kramer.
She's pretty.
She's very pretty. And as suspected, as rumored, as leaked, Ryan Lochte. Ryan Lochte will be dancing
sure.
with the stars. So there's your list, people. I hope you were able to jot them all down, especially Tara Jolie.
Who's the biggest star on that list, in your opinion, Ralph?
Biggest star on this list, in my opinion, Bean, would be...
Turd Ferguson.
Nope. I would have to say, just for white hotness, just for newsworthiness, Ryan Lochte, right?
He's the get.
I think so.
I would
so.
Think so, just from the heat of the moment.
Yeah. Or Laura Hernandez, another Olympian. I would think.
And that's a show that's going into its 23rd season.
You heard me.
So apparently we're going to care about all those people by Christmas.
No.
Goddamn right you are.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Black is 68 years old today. Michael Chiklis, excuse me, is 53. And Cameron Diaz celebrates her 44th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We're doing Breakfast with Sting tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
And we have your tickets.
Breakfast with Sting.
Right. And we have your tickets next if you'd like to call 1-800-520-1067.
Call right now. We'll get back to you.
We won't get back to them. We'll talk to them on the air and they'll play a game. Oh, okay. They'll win tickets for Breakfast with Sting next.
Tomorrow is going to be one of those red letter days, you guys, that I think we're going to all, A, consider how lucky we are to have this job. B, we're going to never forget the day that Sting came in to perform live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock for just about 150 people or something like that. Up close and personal, we get a chance to interview him. You get a chance to help us interview him. He'll be performing live, as I mentioned, and also world premiering a brand new Sting song, his first rock music in years. All of that happening tomorrow right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's this game called, Kevin?
Because you know he's all about that blow, no whistle, and all about that. He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle. And that's why we play Kevin Blow Hums the Hits.
Special needs.
Special needs.
Special needs.
Special needs.
Special needs.
We found out years ago that Kevin can't whistle. When he attempts to whistle, it sounds like something that we call a blow hum because you can hear the air moving around and you can hear the humming sound, but none of it sounds like whistling. So here's what you do. Kevin, you're going to attempt to whistle these hits by Sting or the Police. All the listener has to do is identify it by title. They're in the drawing to win their way into the show tomorrow.
Yes. But I can't – I already feel bad because I know that if somebody gets this wrong, it's because I can't whistle.
It's on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a limitation for all the callers, though, not just one, right? So it's a level playing
okay.
field is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay, all right,
so
I like that.
You shouldn't really feel
None
that
of them
bad.
Have a chance.
What we're saying.
Okay. Well, we're just hoping one person at least is able to figure out what Police or Sting song you're doing because we would like to give away our final pair of tickets for Breakfast with Sting. Who's our first contestant?
All right, first we have Indu in Seal Beach. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Indu.
I love you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, let me ask you this question before we play the game. Do you know anyone in your life who can't whistle?
No.
All right. I don't know that we need to pile on here.
I'm just saying how unusual it is that Kevin cannot make a whistle
I can
sound.
Whistle really loud like I'm at a sporting event, but I just can't whistle
You can't
normal.
Whistle a melody.
Right.
Okay. All right. Kevin Blow hums the hits. Indu, what song is this?
We don't even need Sting.
Not bad.
Indu.
Really?
Yes. I have to tell you, it was not bad.
I gotta tell you, that's going to be the best one of the
batch. It wasn't loud, but it wasn't bad. He did hit the notes.
Message in a bottle?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was Every Breath You Take this time.
I feel like I nailed that one.
I hope Indu still loves us. All right, who's our next contestant?
Next is Lisa in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
You ready to hear Kevin blow hum the hits?
Not really, but go ahead.
Okay, good luck.
I got it.
Yes!
Yes!
Fields of Gold.
It is.
Yes!
It sounded nothing like that. I don't know how you got it.
A couple notes did.
A couple of notes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. You're not quite in yet, but you're one step
really,
closer, Lisa.
That doesn't win her tickets?
I think we just have the one pair. Yeah.
Wow, this is difficult.
I'm sorry. It's our last pair, though. We're really making the kids earn it.
Okay. Let's go to Paul in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Paul.
Hi, you guys. I killed it on Listener Roku the other day, and you guys did a drawing.
Yeah. Well, maybe you didn't kill it as much as you thought.
Well, you weren't even there, Kevin.
I know. But
wow.
Did they choose you? Or did they do a drawing?
Why is there so much smack talk from the guy who literally is standing between you and coming to the Sting breakfast? I think you should be a little nicer to the man who's about to blow hum.
I'm mad at Allie and Bean, actually.
You should be, because
well,
they
this
suck.
Is going well for you, Paul.
Okay. Now you're making a lot of friends, Paul.
Now you're going to be mad at me. All right, here we go. Right?
Kevin's face.
Right? Well, I didn't get that one, but maybe you did.
Kevin, you suck.
See, now he hates all of us. I just want to even the playing field. All right, that's a song.
If you don't know, take a guess.
So Lonely.
I'm sorry, no. It was Englishman in New York. Or was it?
It was.
Or was it?
She's like, oh, I'm an Englishman. That's the part.
All right, I think we got time for a
I felt like I nailed it. Tony in Los Angeles, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
How are you doing so far on hold?
So far, I'm just nervous.
Okay, you ready?
I think so.
Look, I don't want to cast dispersions here. But what song are you
that?
Whistling? What song are you actually whistling?
That's what Tony's supposed to tell us.
Number four? The one that
yes!
says number four
are
is the one you...
sure?
Yes!
It sounded like what it was supposed to-ish be.
It was Message in a Bottle, believe it or not.
Right, that's what I did.
One more contestant. It's gonna be Julie. She's in Agoura Hills. Let's find out if Lisa's got some competition for the drawing or if it's just hers outright. Julie, you ready to play Kevin Blow Hums the Hits?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna do my best. Good luck.
Thank you.
Did we mention Kevin can't whistle?
Oh, my God. He really can't.
That was...
And I'm, like, the biggest Sting fan ever.
Okay. All right, what do you think?
See, this is why this game sucks, because now I'm responsible that the biggest fan ever can't come.
That is just not right.
If you don't know, at least guess, because then you got a chance.
Well, I know you already played Fields of Gold, and that's what it sounded like.
Okay, but it's not that.
Oh, my God.
We need a guess.
Can you name a song, please? Any song?
I'm sorry. No, it was Rock Don't Band. Stand So Close to Me is what it was.
That one was dead on, though.
It wasn't as bad as Message on the Line.
Is it going to be Lisa from L.A. or Los Angeles' Lisa? Only one will win her way in to Breakfast with Sing tomorrow on the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for our Breakfast with. Who is it, Lisa? I mean, she's Lisa. You're Ali.
It's going to be Lisa.
It's Lisa. Yeah!
Oh, my God. You guys have no idea how much I'm going to be sick of. Oh, my God. Thank you, Kevin.
I'm glad you got them. I'm sorry to everybody else.
He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle.
Special needs.
Special needs.
Special needs.
So I walk into the office, and P says, I can whistle. That was terrible.
No.
And I says, I know that was terrible. But
that's why we do it, P. That's why we make him do it, because he can't whistle. That's
why
but
I thought you, like, at least, like, all these years playing Patience by Guns N' Roses here, that you'd be able to just do something. I mean, I whistle inward, and I can't breathe, and I'm a mouth breather. And I can whistle better.
Okay, let's hear you do any song by Sting or the Police.
All right, ask me a song.
No.
No. So I can perform this song.
We're supposed to guess it. Okay,
that's
so
whistling. Much better, yeah. That's whistling, yeah.
Okay, that's better. All right, it's better. Okay.
All right.
That's better.
Wanted to prove a point, that's all. Right.
Okay.
Petros, now I'm going to have a heart attack.
Petros, of course, for the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570, is here for two reasons, one of which is coming up in minutes, and that's this morning's Bachelor in Paradise report.
Both are the right reasons, though.
You're here for the right reasons.
Yeah,
and the other thing is it really college football this weekend for reals?
It started last week, actually, mm-hmm. in Australia, in Sydney, in front of about 60,000 white people in Australia. You had Cal play Hawaii, which was kind of under the radar. But that happened, and we're going to have games, I believe, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe even Wednesday. Tomorrow.
So it's on.
Yeah, it's starting now, but the big games are this weekend, especially when it comes to the city of Los Angeles and the West Coast. We have both of our teams who are so close together here in our city, proximity-wise, USC and UCLA, both going to the state of Texas. UCLA is going to a hellhole of football named College Station, to take on Texas A&M, the Aggies.
Why is that a hellhole?
It's just not a lot there.
Okay.
Other than the football team and a bunch of military kids blowing horns. And they used to have a great tradition where they would have a walk-on every year, like some psychopath run down on the kickoff team and try to kill everybody with the crown of his head, just spear into them. They called him the 12th man or something like that. And I think they got rid of the tradition.
Yeah.
But they...
Along with the spearing, they got rid of as well.
I think they still get... kind of crazy.
Okay.
That was the place where they were building that giant log bonfire and kids died trying to build.
Oh,
remember that thing?
Right, yes. Yeah.
Texas A&M is a little off when it comes to football.
Okay.
So UCLA is playing them on Saturday. That's
and they're the ones
game.
Who came up with and owned the 12th man copyright, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's why the Seattle thing's a lie.
That's why the Seahawks is called the 12s.
Yeah, because they're stupid.
That's dumb.
Are the Aggies any good, Pete?
They'll be all right. I mean, you know, they have a good coach. They have a new quarterback. They actually have the old offensive coordinator from UCLA last year. Noel Mazzoni and his son are going over there to call plays. So that'll be interesting to see the chess match between Jim Mora and his old offensive coordinator going down. And that's a huge game. But USC, Alabama.
Okay, but hold on. How are the Bruins?
The Bruins have a chance now. They have one of the better quarterbacks in the country, maybe the best-looking player in the country at that position.
Okay.
He's a young kid, and he is a brash, arrogant, I mean, he's an SAE, if that makes any sense to people. You don't get a lot of frat boy football players out there.
Okay.
And there's a big article in Sports Illustrated about him and another one that just recently came out. His name is Josh Rosen from Manhattan Beach, but he played at a private school.
A Jew.
He's Jewish, atheist.
What?
Catholic school quarterback.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah. What?
In high school, this will tell you a little bit about Josh. In high school, he ran around telling everybody how there was no God and he's an atheist at a Catholic school and you can't do anything to me because I'm the quarterback here. He's a little annoying. But we'll see what his season's going to look like. I mean, he's a good player, there's no doubt. And UCLA will have a different style offense, kind of a more pro-set thing this year. So they'll be huddling up better. And I think that suits Jim Mora, who's a defensive coach.
Okay.
And they have a chance to win, you know, 10, 11 games.
All right.
And the Pac-12 is a little weak. UCLA could represent them at least in the Rose Bowl, which would be gigantic for them.
The Trojans are going to a school, playing a school with very little college football tradition. Mm. Something in Alabama or something, right? They don't really do football down there.
They both, both these are probably two of the richest football traditions in the world. Alabama,
oh, right? That's right. I got it wrong.
Yes, Alabama is quite popular. Bean. I don't know if you get a lot of that down in New Orleans.
Ha! Huh, how about that?
There's a lot of girls.
Quite popular.
Yes, they have tight jeans.
Okay.
Knee high boots.
All right.
They wear houndstooth to memorialize a drunken coach by the name of Bear Bryant.
Right.
Used to lean on the goalpost because he was drunk.
Okay. Good.
Anyway, they're taking.
I love tradition.
Yeah, they're taking on USC in a very untraditional place, the Dallas Palace, Jerry Jones Dome, which is quite an ordeal.
Why are they playing there?
It's a neutral site game to start the season. There's a few of these every year. Last year, I think, or a couple years ago, Alabama opened their season in the Georgia Dome against West Virginia. It's just a reason to sell tickets and TV rights and get a bunch of people, like rich people from USC and Birmingham and places like that.
And I bet the players love going out onto the field in the Cowboy Stadium.
That place, I got to be honest, you guys know me.
Amazing.
I hate everything.
You do.
Everything that's new, I hate it. Anything that's popular, I despise.
New, old, popular, not popular.
And
you hate all.
I did a Cotton Bowl there with old drunken Johnny Manziel, that meth head running around. I don't know if he's on meth. I couldn't believe the place. I mean, it was
it's
a cartoon. It's like it doesn't exist. It's an unbelievable place. It's a great venue. And everybody, if you're in L.A. right now, you know some rich USC person that's going to Dallas with some other rich USC person to be rich together and enjoy the game.
So how good is Alabama? How good is USC?
It's hard to say. You know, it's the first game of the year. I don't think USC is going to be great this year. I think they're going to have a rough time. They play Alabama and Stanford in the first two of the first three games. They're probably going to lose both those games. They're breaking in a new quarterback, but you're looking at USC as a wildly talented football team.
Are we out of sanction times right now?
Yeah, they're out.
We are. Okay.
Yeah, they're out, and they have a new coach, and apparently they got a new attitude. Everybody says it's a really good. They've had a really good vibe in camp. That lasts about as long as till somebody from Alabama punches you in the nuts on the kickoff, and then you realize you're in a football game. Alabama's dominant, especially on their offensive and defensive line. Both teams are breaking in new quarterbacks, so a lot of people are like. Even Christine was saying, she's a USC person, one of your producers. I don't want to watch us get our ass kicked. It's like, it's probably not going to go like that. I don't think USC.
You think that both teams will be sort of rusty?
Yeah. It just happens in the first game. It's college football. It's not the pros. Kids make mistakes. There's new quarterbacks. There'll be conservative play calling. That venue will probably keep everybody pretty tight through the first quarter. So I think you're looking at more of a push-and-pull type of game that Alabama would pull away in the fourth quarter. Not dissimilar to a game they had a couple years ago with West Virginia to open the season like that, that went the same way. And West Virginia did well with their athletes. USC's got way better athletes than West Virginia. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
The Bruins are on at 12:30 on CBS and then 5 o'clock on ABC for the Trojans game. Pete, where are you going to be on radio and TV this college season?
I will be doing our show on AM570 with Matt. I'll be doing about 8 games or so or more, I guess, on Fox, FS1, college football games. I think we start in Oklahoma. I know we start at Oklahoma State next week. And I'll be doing the stuff with Fred on Sunday nights on NBC and whatever else. So,
What animal are you going to have on the show with you and Fred this year?
This year I'm going to be killed by a bear, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully. If that's what you want, I hope that happens for you.
I want to be crushed by a manatee in a canal.
We want you to have your dreams. All right. Quick break, and then we'll come back with some BIP.
Where's Sting?
Right after this on K-Rock.
Wait a minute.
Ralph, earlier I introduced you to the new guy, Kevin Ryder. That's Kevin over there on the other side of the board. This is our friend Petros Papadakis.
I know him very well.
Him you know. Okay.
We're brothers. His microphone's not on, but we're brothers of the BIP.
You guys turn it off all the time.
There we go.
It is BIP time. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Gardman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice, it's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, because all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
Yeah, I have a hard time with that. That last rhyme. Paradise.
Glad P wore his coconut bra to the show today.
That is nice.
So
I'm feeling tropical. Nice.
Get us in the feeling of Bachelor in
Paradise. And I'm a sweater, you know, so it fits right in.
It does. It's cool.
Everybody sweats their balls right off on this show. They don't give these people air conditioning.
No air conditioning in Mexico. That's true.
You sweat enough when you're talking to a new girl, you know, having a drink or two. But
they have the handheld fans, the battery operated fans in their faces.
They're
at all
wearing
times.
It. That guy Josh Murray is super sweaty. He's just sweating all over that poor cute Amanda.
Yeah, while he's eating pizza and Skittles and moaning in her face.
Oh. Now, how many people are left, or are we narrowing it down, or
Kevin,
how does this season
on.
Work?
Kevin, never anybody left. They're people. It's a rotation.
Number.
It's like a hockey game.
But how does it end?
Shift.
It ends when it's over and you find love.
I don't know when it ends. That's actually really good.
Seriously.
Because I'm like, you know, football season's coming.
Right.
ABC's not going to go up against that on a Monday night. What the hell's going on here?
It ends when it's over.
Right, but I'm saying there's no climax.
Goodbye.
There's no winner. There's no...
Some people are going to say, hey, you want to get married? Now that you've been here sweating it out for a few weeks, you want to get married? And some people are going to say, yeah, we want to get married.
My,
and some are going to say,
boy,
no.
My boy, Chris B. Harrison, will walk in and say, time! That's it.
Sounds like a good system.
It's like a soccer. They play a horn, and then there's some stoppage time.
There's love or not. That's how it works. Anyway, last night, the ongoing saga of Ashley I.
Oh.
Just
and we like her, right?
No, we don't like her.
Oh, we don't
her.
Like
She's
her.
She's awful.
Okay,
she's ruining everybody's time.
Arm. She's not the one
no,
with one
Sarah
arm.
No, Sarah with one arm
is gone.
Greasing up her nub has gone home.
She's a twin?
No.
Ashley's the Kardashian wannabe who cries constantly.
The Kardashian.
The Kardashian.
The twins are Emily and Hannah from Vegas.
Haley. Emily and Haley from Vegas.
That's a ticket.
Yeah. So, Ashley, she wants to pretend she's over Jared, but she's not. She's constantly trying to horn way into Kayla's and Jared's relationship.
Kayla's a hot Asian.
Yes. And Ashley's just miserable because, first of all, the man she loves, Jared, has found someone else, and she can't find anyone in paradise else that she cares about. And on top of that, her dog Lucy died.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
So, I mean, she's had a bad, bad week. And I didn't even know about Lucy until last night, but Ashley cried, as she always does, and then started praying to Lucy, which I thought was nice.
Well,
she started praying to Lucy.
Praying to her dead dog?
You'll have to hear the clip.
A couple months ago, my dog died, and she's like my best friend. But I know she went to heaven, because all dogs do, and... Even though Lucy's ashes are in a jar in my house, I know that the spirit of my dog, Lucy, is going to help me on this journey. Lucy, please let some guy that I actually will have some sort of instant chemistry and connection with walk in that door, because I'm really scared that I am going to completely lose my mind.
I love her.
Too late.
Yeah, way too late.
I love her so much.
Did not think of the ancient Egyptians. Have I seen someone worship a dog?
Anubis.
She does. That's right.
Now, first of all Dogs Go to Heaven is just a movie.
Right. It's just an animated movie.
Just
right.
Because you heard the phrase at some point.
Science.
And second, and I thought, well, you know, there's been dogs that have killed people out there. Those dogs go to heaven? Those are murderous dogs.
They all go to heaven.
What about those dogs from Game of Thrones that eat all those innocent people?
But those aren't Lucy.
Those dogs don't go to heaven.
And points to the producers, by the way, for putting...
all the strays.
The strays. They would cut the shots of stray dogs
mangy
in Mexico.
Strays.
Just listening to her pray to the spirit of Lucy. Well, Lucy answered her prayers because in walks Wells. Wells, the DJ from Nashville. Skinny little Wells shows up, and Ashley feels an immediate connection to Wells.
This guy's a little bitch.
And everyone there goes to him, pulls him aside when he first gets to Paris and goes, please ask out Ashley because she's killing us. All she does is cry and talk about Jared.
Please take the bullet.
Just take her out. Just distract her for a minute so we can all get some peace.
I know why he did it, too, because otherwise they'd have killed him. They'd have all picked Lord of the Flies. They would have just picked him up.
You're the new guy.
They'd have killed him.
Yeah. So he did ask Ashley out on a date in front of everyone, and there was much rejoicing.
Ashley, I would like to take you out on a date.
They were popping
champagne.
Wait,
that's real? They didn't add that in?
No.
It sounded like a canoe race at a camp.
No.
That kept going and going.
They popped champagne corks.
Why?
Fireworks.
Well, they got nothing to look forward to, these people. I mean, they got nothing to celebrate, you know?
She is so miserable and cries all the time and is making such drama in Paradise that everyone had an ass full of her. And they thought, maybe if she goes out with someone else and stops worrying about Jared so much, we can enjoy ourselves again. So there was just a cheer that went up that lasted about an hour and a half.
And the date went well.
Yes, they went on a date. They clicked. They hit it off. Wells, of course, is a big music fan because he's a DJ. And they even talked about music on their date.
What's your favorite band? Because, like, I want to know. I know, like, that's really hard for you.
My favorite band is a band called the Talking Heads.
I know the Talking Heads.
Yeah.
I took the history of rock and roll.
Did you? Who's your favorite band?
See, I love that you'll respect my answer, I think.
I will.
Hanson?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not real.
Yes.
Yes.
Hanson is no one's favorite band in the world.
You're wrong, Bean.
You're wrong. She listened to Hanson while she was sprinkling Lucy's ashes on the dog park, I'm sure.
Didn't they go kind of indie?
Yeah, but still, look, you can like Hanson. Hanson, you can say Hanson is fine. You can say they're good. They're no one's favorite band in the world of all time.
Do you think she went with Mbop when she was spreading the ashes? I don't know any other Hanson song.
No one does.
Wasn't the guy in Hanson the same guy from the show Home Improvement, the little kid, Jonathan Taylor Thompson?
No. And they had a girl drummer, if I remember.
Just a dude with long hair.
One of them was a basketball center, I think, like an Australian.
They were all just brothers.
So that's her favorite band.
Yeah.
Hanson. Yeah.
So meanwhile, Nick and Josh are still going at it because Amanda, of course, is the sweetest girl. And Josh is a homicidal maniac who's just got it boiling under the surface. He's eating Skittles and pizza and moaning, but he's going to snap and kill someone. Mm. And so he finally confronts the group on the beach, and it was not pretty.
His anger
showed, man.
Yeah, he was like, he had the 1,000-yard stare from 5 yards.
Are you sure he was angry?
Yeah, and it was over nothing, man.
Who's been talking about me?
I'm positive.
Who's been talking about me?
Anybody want to say anything? You guys better hope she's not upset with me.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do, man?
Wow, love it.
He threatened Nick with seemingly physical violence if things between he and Amanda are going south.
All I know is I'm going to try to work on this right now.
Well, listen,
you need to hope that everything's good with me and her, period. Well, what? You just need to hope that everything's good with her.
Okay.
All right?
As he stalks off into the night. So, all's going well, pretty much, until a new girl walks in.
Ooh.
See, they bring in new people all the time.
Okay.
So shift.
Jamie comes in.
Is this the day shift or night shift?
It was day shift.
Okay.
Because everyone was sleeping in late. Because, you know, all they do is drink and get hungover, so everyone sleeps in late.
Right.
Except for Wells. He was up in the morning. This is after his date with Ashley. So he's sitting by the pool, and Jamie comes in.
She's lovely. She likes comic books.
Lovely, biracial, broadcast journalist. Very attractive. She walks in and she's got a date card. She has to ask somebody on the date. Nobody else is around. It's just Wells by the pool. So he's like, hey, you want to go out on a date? And they go on a date and they hit it off. Now, Ashley's got a crush on Wells. What's going to happen when she finds out that Wells is reacting to Jamie? Not only is she beautiful, not only is she also into broadcasting and he's a DJ, but as P mentioned, she's a comic book fan. As you know, that makes any woman perfect.
Sure.
You know? I would have taken her out. At that point, I was like, why aren't I there with her?
You've got a tattoo on your finger.
Yes.
It's Batman tattoo.
Yes.
Are you a Batman fan?
I'm a huge Batman fan.
Really?
Yes.
This is the most awesome and nerdy conversation I've ever had. If you are next to a really, really gorgeous girl who's talking to you about her love of comics with a waterfall behind you, if you aren't kissing that person, then you are certifiably insane.
He wrecked it because he's a douche. But
no, he didn't wreck it.
Oh, that sounded so stupid.
They were making out under that waterfall talking about Batman.
It was a great follow-up question, though. Is that a tattoo of Batman? Yes. Do you like Batman?
Maybe.
Nailed it.
I'm kind of into it.
You don't know, man. Maybe her parents lost a bet. Yeah, her parents were killed by a criminal.
Her father was a doctor. They saw the Mask of Zorro, they were walking in a dark alley.
You don't know.
You know what though? I don't like somebody that defines the conversation they're having while it's happening. This is the nerdy best conversation I've ever had. Shut up about
Why
your conversation.
Come down on Wells so hard.
Because I used to work with his sister.
Oh, here we go.
What? Yeah. At the Korean station I used to work at in Ocean Park.
Sure.
I used to work with his sister, a lovely lady.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I don't like this guy.
Wow.
Something about him, something about his smarmy, concave chest.
Okay.
And he's trying to define everything with his big radio voice. I don't like those big radio voice types, you know?
Well, none of us do.
I know how you feel.
You make us sound terrible.
So how do we know if we're making progress through the season?
Now that Wells is interested in someone else, Ashley's falling right back into her old ways. She's starting to insinuate her way into the relationship with Kayla and Jared.
Again.
So much so that last night's cliffhanger was Kayla's like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm out of
this. Why do they listen to Ashley?
Why does
Jared give her the power, Ralph?
And so Kayla goes to Jared, look, I'm leaving. You can come with me. We can start our relationship right now. We don't have to stay here in Mexico. What's up? What's up, Jared? And we don't know what his response is.
She threw down the gauntlet, the metal hand.
To be continued?
Tonight. Tonight's the second half, Kevin.
Where's Sting now? I was told I was going to see Sting.
No, tomorrow morning.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning we're doing Breakfast with Sting.
I thought there wasn't a lot of fanfare in the parking lot. I thought I was going to meet Sting. I thought I was going to do Love is the Seventh Wave for me.
I was wondering why you came into the studio
that is
to do the Bachelor
I have
report.
A favorite B-side.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
You can call in tomorrow.
Maybe. You know what? When we do Breakfast with Hanson, you can come in.
Right?
Yeah. Or Stu Copeland. Can I come to that breakfast at least? I mean, come on, guys. No
hey,
love.
Because of Breakfast with Sting tomorrow, another programming note, Bachelor in Paradise, this exact same time tomorrow, 7:30, okay, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love you, Pete. Thanks for coming in.
Don't come in tomorrow because we've got guests.
Yeah. We've
got a thing going on.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Dream about the space, but now they're laughing out the face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah!
I'm just saying I've never liked you.
I'm sorry you're back. So we're all in a world of hurt right now. We're all in a world of hurt, but everybody gets a paycheck, so shut up.
The love didn't last very long this morning with Kevin returning to the show. Instead. Hey, guys, I know it feels like we must have already peaked. We already had the pee in here. We did the Bachelor in Paradise report. We had the great Henry Winkler on. We gave away tickets for Breakfast with Sting. It seems like that's enough. But wait, there's more. A world premiere, brand new music from Jimmy Eat World coming up right after the top of the hour. And Jim Atkins himself from Jimmy Eat World is going to be in studio with us as well.
Say, Bean, that he is hand-delivering the single?
Now, what is your problem with the expression hand-delivering? If the artist is coming in with
new
music.
It hasn't been used since the 1820s.
He did it all day yesterday.
Oh, really? How is
all
your...
day yesterday. It's been 2 weeks. It's going to be hand-delivering his
single. How is your mail delivered by the postal service?
The Postal Service isn't coming in. That's a different band.
My point is, it's a legitimate expression to describe accurately what's happening.
It's an old-timey expression.
It really is.
And Jimmy himself will be bringing in the new music. It'll be hand-delivered by him himself.
That's a very odd
thing.
Picture
him coming up on a horse.
It's a very odd thing to be focusing
and the stage on. Stagecoach that pulls up and
howdy, partner.
Hey, it's the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street and comes up.
You're looking for the Jimmy Eat World?
This is hand delivered to you.
It's not Sam Elliott coming in. I'm just saying.
Governor himself.
Jimmy Atkins is bringing us new music to play. Is everyone happy with that?
Yes, we're happy with that. It could be some of his people. It could be in a knapsack or something. It doesn't have to be hand-delivered, like an invitation to Cinderella's ball.
Oh, Bean, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I came back.
I'm sorry you came back. I'm sorry I came back. I wasn't on vacation. Every morning I wake up, I'm sorry I come back. But I'm still here, so let's all do it.
Time for the show, Bean.
Here's
Ralph.
Band together and fight the common enemy.
Who's Bean?
Right.
Right? Okay. As long as we're all on the same page.
Absolutely. Gene Wilder has passed, which, silver lining.
Silver streak is what it was called, Ralph. Get it right.
Yeah. The silver lining to that dark cloud is he did not hear today's show, the Kevin and Bean show. So look.
He got out just in time.
There's always an upside. Gene Wilder, one of the greats, a brilliantly talented actor first and then comedian. He was always funny, but he was funny because he played every situation for the reality of the craziness that was surrounding him. Nobody could play sensitive, passive, and then just go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds and go into full hysterics and mania. It was so funny to watch him work with the talented cast of movies he did with Mel Brooks, like Young Frankenstein, one of his classic performances, where in this particular scene, he's dealing with his assistant Igor, played by the legendary Marty Feldman.
they have created this monster, this Frankenstein monster, and they need a brain. And so Gene Wilder sends Igor out to get the brain of a genius that he is familiar with. That they've preserved his brain because he's so smart. And so he's going to take that genius brain and put it inside his creature. Turns out things don't go so well when Marty Feldman brings back a different brain that they put inside this giant creature. And Gene Wilder does not react well to the news.
Now, that brain that you gave me, was it Hans Delbrück's? No. Ah. Good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, boy. It's a one of a kind. One of a kind. Always funny. Sad news that he's gone. But what a life. 83 years old. Yesterday, we had Kevin Smith on the show. We were talking about this weird video that Ben Affleck shared via his Instagram or Facebook. I don't know how he did it on social media. But it was footage of the legendary DC Comics villain Deathstroke. And everyone was saying, where is this character coming from? What does this mean to us, the superhero movie fans? There was a speculation that was perhaps footage from the new Justice League movie, and that still may be the case, but someone close to the DC movie universe has leaked the information that Deathstroke will in fact be the main villain of the Batman standalone movie that Ben Affleck is starring in and directing as well.
Now, is that good news, Ralph? Are we happy about that, or did you want it to be part of the Justice League?
Well, it still may be the case, I think is what they're saying. It may establish this villain in Justice League.
I see.
And then the next standalone Batman movie will be a continuation of perhaps that battle in the next film. But it looks like Deathstroke will be the main villain in the Batman standalone movie, now being called The Batman by DC, and they're still working on that film. So it looks like Deathstroke will have an appearance in Justice League and then will break out in the Batman movie. So that is...
How are you feeling about Ben Affleck as Batman in general?
I think so far so good.
Great.
I mean, we've only really seen him in Batman v Superman, and I thought that his performance in Batman v Superman was one of the least worst things in that movie.
Okay.
I thought his Bruce Wayne was pretty strong. I thought Batman was good in that film, and I think I've been encouraged by what I've seen him doing in the trailer for Justice League. It looks like they're putting a little more fun into the movie. He's allowing him to be a little bit more charming, a little less dour, and I think there's a lot of good Batman still left in him. So,
all right,
we'll wait and see.
Do we know who Deathstroke is?
Of course we do.
Know this. Who's going to play
Slade Wilson, the evil Slade Wilson,
the actor,
one of the greatest
portraying
assassins in the DC universe.
Sure.
What actor will be portraying him?
Yes.
Because if it's Joe Manganiello, he just followed Zack Snyder on Twitter. Just saying. If we're going to connect,
weird
wow.
Conspiracy theorist.
Just saying.
Wow.
Just saying.
Are you just saying?
The fact that you know that scares me.
Just saying. Just trying to help. Anyone out there's making a flowchart.
No one's making a flowchart. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, August 30th. Comedian Louis Black, one of my favorites, 68 years old today. Actor Michael Chiklis turns 53. By the way, Michael just released a single called Influence. It's available on iTunes. If you want to hear some Michael Chiklis' music, that's available.
Oh.
Actress Cameron Diaz celebrates her 44th birthday.
No belt today.
Hey,
that is odd.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Just asking. Am I making the wrong decision there?
Not sure.
I think so.
I think so.
Cameron Diaz?
So, I think
yeah.
so.
All right.
Oh, that was a protest bell. That was just a weak
I just give the people what they want. That's what I'm known
never,
for.
Never, ever, ever. So true.
Never.
And you hand deliver it when you give them what they want.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is sure and certain. It is new Jimmy Eat World.
How about that? Jim Atkins from the band in studio with us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Jim?
Good morning, everybody.
Are we talking?
Thanks
for yeah, we are. Let's applaud. Oh, what yes. the hell? Might as well applaud. So, how you been? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest? What's going on?
Oh, man. A lot's going on. We're gearing up to rock once again.
October 21st, is that the date?
Yes.
Integrity Blues, is that the album title?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
It's great seeing you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Great. I have to be honest, we're going to need more out of you.
Well, let me start by asking, what's the strategy? Because last week we got all excited. Hey, there's a new Jimmy Eat World song. It was all over the internet called Get Right. And we thought, oh, that's cool. And they're making that available as a free download. But then this week there's another song. So is that what we're doing? Is it a song a week from Jimmy Eat World from now till the album comes out or what?
No.
Okay. Thanks for coming by. Good.
Come on, Jim.
Good. All the media training's paying off, right?
Nailing it.
Yeah. Just going with it. You know, mysterious. We've been working on this record for almost a year, really. I mean, and, you know, really proud of it.
At some kinda point in that year, do you start thinking, okay, let's wrap this up and go play it for people? Do you get
Yeah,
to that
I'm
point
thinking of, that right now.
Right now, okay.
Yeah. No, it's super cool. Like, I think towards the end of making a record, there's always this period where you feel like you know this really awesome secret that no one else knows.
And right.
Right now, I'm kind of enjoying that, and we're just really excited to get out there.
You guys do the 3 years. It's about right for you, right? 3 years between albums. But I feel like between 2013 and 2016... Maybe I'm wrong, Jim. You're on the inside of this. You tell me if I'm wrong. That the music business has changed so much that there are a lot of people who are like, why are we even making albums anymore? Have you been involved in any kind of conversations like that where it's just, hey, let's just put out some singles. People are running going to stream them anyway and no one's going to buy them. So what's the point of spending so much money to make so many songs?
Yeah. You know, it is kind of the Wild West out there. I think if you're an artist or, you know, there's really no rules anymore. Like you can do – I think it just depends on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like do you want to present – like a body of work. I mean, it is, you're right. It is sort of a lot to ask people like, hey man, check out my band. Here's 45 minutes of your time. You know, like it's a lot to ask people.
I've
you know?
Never thought of it that way, but it is yeah. sort of presumptuous on band
There's so
parts.
Much. Yeah. And I think like, well, more often than not, I mean, I think like it just depends. I think like the more passive listener will be all it was is does listen like by track now.
Like in a perfect world, would you like people to hear the thing as a whole?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we made it as a whole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I as a music listener, like I listen to a lot of things by track and sometimes I'll throw on an album. I mean, it just kind of depends on, you know, everyone's a DJ now. So,
yeah,
like they can make mixes and, you know, just like assemble things and share that and turn other people onto it. But, sometimes it's nice just to get really into a headspace and listen to a whole album. It just depends, you know, like on what you want to how you want to present. Like you're in more control now, I think, as a musician. Like if you just want to put out a song, you can put out a song.
Put out a song, right. This is the voice of our friend Jim Atkins here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, from the band Jimmy Eat World. We just world premiered their brand new song on K-Rock called Sure and Certain, and we'll be playing it again for you here in a couple of minutes. Is the 3 year gap that you guys generally have because that's how long it takes you to write that many songs?
When we were 18, we decided, okay, this is our strategy for a career in music. Every 3 years.
No.
I'm doubting
no,
that. Okay,
yeah, yeah. No, I, you know, it's kind of uncanny, but just is always worked out that way.
Really?
Yeah, since 95. So it's been like every 3 years we put out an album. We got a lot of flack for that, too. Like when the band, when Bleed American took off and hit, it was like, you know, there was definitely like a sense of pressure. Like, you guys got to get something else out right now. But like no, I mean, we're not going to put out something until we feel like we have our best work, and it ended up being 3 years.
Right. What's the longest you've ever had a break from Jimmy Eat World, where you've just had you time?
The year before we made this record, we decided that we would take off, like, you know, towards the end of the last touring cycle, we'd done a lot of shows for Damage, and we'd done a lot of shows supporting the doing like an anniversary party for our Futures record that came out 10 years before that. Mm-hmm. And there was the initial thought of like, well, let's go, let's do it. Let's make a record. Let's get it out, you know? And, but then we started thinking like, well, you know, it's kind of, that's what we've always done. It's sort of like, you know, while we're really proud of like what we have, the beginning and ending of that story would be new Jimmy Eat World album. And, you know, like, could we do better than that, or is that just kind of what we're used to?
What's the answer to that?
Well, the answer
question
is
that you just asked yourself.
The answer is like, well, why not try something different? So the thing we tried was like, let's just take a complete year off from doing anything with the band.
Now, what do you do with that year?
Well, I did. I made like a series of solo singles and like traveled around with a guitar all over the place.
This is a man who can't take a vacation.
Well, that's why I was asking.
Let's take a break from playing music and traveling and
play some music.
Play music and travel.
You went out and did your day job on your off time, basically, is what happened.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there was a lot of places that we haven't been for a while that, you know, it's kind of expensive to bring, like, the show that you want to bring with the full band. And it doesn't always make sense. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, like, it's tough to get there. But I could go there with a guitar and play like, you know, for whatever hardcore fans might show up, and it'd be fun. You know, it was fun. It's scary playing by yourself on
stage. I would
think
so.
Yeah, because it's like, if it sucks, it's kind of on you.
No, it's totally
kind of on you.
Yeah.
Not kind of, though, is what we're saying. Yeah. It's 100%. Yeah.
More totally.
There's a lot of moments, opportunities for endearing engagement.
We call those mistakes.
Yeah, I look at those as opportunities.
Okay, good.
You can, you know.
Good, I like it.
Maybe the vulnerability of being alone is what you need to then recharge you to get back out there with the band, too.
Yeah, you know, it's just about, it's a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And definitely coming back into that, it informed a lot of like what we decided, you know, what our mindset would be going in to make the Integrity Blues album is, you know, is this really the best we can do, or is this just kind of what we're familiar with? Like, you have your strengths, I think, for especially for a group like us who have been around like 21 years, that you come to rely on, and there might be musical problems that you run into that there's like a shorthand, you just execute it. It's like, well, we want this song to feel a certain way in this moment, and then you just do it because like you know how to do it. But
Do you ever do a song that's the opposite, where you go, okay, we just did that song, but it's not what we want for this particular?
Well, no, it's more of like a short. It's more of like a just a subconscious thing. You don't even realize you're doing it. I think like you might do that in other. Everyone does that to a degree when they become familiar with a process and build some chops with like a certain function they have in their routine. But if you are able to short circuit that and say, okay, well, what is this really the best I can do, or is this just, you know, the familiar, comfortable way to solve this particular issue, problem, you know?
That's gotta be scary, though.
It is, but I think, like, you know, your comfort zone is really just a zone of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to break out of that because you're scared, but really, I mean, like, then you don't grow.
So you are doing mostly polka on this album?
The new record is... Yeah. A mix of polka.
Uh-huh. I heard a guy on the radio say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eastern European animal noises.
Oh.
Like finally. Somebody's brave enough to put those two together.
They're waiting for that mixture.
All right. Yeah. Let's play Sure and Certain again, the brand new song from Jimmy Eat World, and talk more with our guest Jim Atkins when we return right after this on K-Rock.
From the upcoming Integrity Blues, that is Jimmy Eat World. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
The man singing on that song is named Jim Atkins. He is in studio with us here on K-Rock right now. I like that title, Integrity Blues, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. It comes from one of the songs on the record called Integrity Blues, which is another thing besides the three-year thing we kind of got going for us. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of about the struggle I think sometimes people run into with accepting, you know, reality as it is, rather than becoming disappointed with, you know, your expectations not being met.
Somebody's been having a lot of deep thoughts.
Yeah.
Somebody's lower your expectations. Someone's been in therapy.
I think he's saying no expectations.
It's not necessarily. I mean, you got to have goals in your life, you know. But like, you can't take the gap between your expectations and reality personally. And I think it's a really easy trap to fall into.
Interesting.
That's very deep, Jim. Wow.
Bean didn't mean to sound that incredulous over that.
Probably not good AM radio, but you know.
The fact that you said something thoughtful surprised me.
Oh.
No, that's good. That's good. That sounds like good life advice is what I'm saying.
I'm passionate about the fundamentals.
I like it. All right. Let me ask you about a couple of random things, Jim, since you're here. Number one is, forgive me if this is a bad topic, but I was intrigued by it. The Francis Bean Cobain thing that happened a month ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's super flattering. I think, like, as a musician, when anybody, especially for, you know, when anyone makes a connection with something that you've done and – you know, builds their own. It takes the time to build your own associations with music. You know, like we were saying earlier, there's just so much competition for your time, and every day exponentially more.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, like we carry the Library of Congress around on our phone, and you know the history of media around on our phone all the time, every day. And the fact that like a song that's, you know, 15, 16 years old now is still like, you know, resonating with people and connecting with people is just such a huge compliment.
Well, a lot of people were, you know, intrigued by it because they had not seen her sing before. But here's a little clip of Frances Bean Cobain. What did she do? She put it up on Instagram, I think, right?
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
Take some time.
So you wake up one day and your phone is just blowing up, and it's not the type of thing you could ever have predicted would have happened. It's just some random thing that some kid out there just fell in love with something you wrote.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's I'm kind of more impressed by like the chord changes she decided to augment in there. I think that's really creative.
Has anybody ever done one of your songs and it just was terrible?
There's this thing called YouTube.
Yeah.
And if you look long enough, man, you'll find incredible pride and also incredible disappointment.
You seem like both with the solo singles that you put out last year and also with the band, you guys you enjoy covers, don't you? It seems like it's fun for you to reinterpret other people's songs.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely songs I grew up with. There's all kinds of songs you like for different reasons, and I think like approaching a cover is you know, it's a great way to kind of show people what that has meant to you in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, like you bring your own sensibilities to it,
like when you did Wham.
Yeah, like when we did Wham.
And by the way, when you did Taylor Swift too, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah,
love for
that.
It.
There that was a wonderful
cover. That was a really fun song to play.
It's a great song. That's why. She's a great songwriter.
You know, Jim, some behind the scenes. Bean
no,
loves,
there's no behind the scenes.
Bean loves Taylor Swift
Taylor
more than
Swift's
anybody
a
on the
great songwriter.
Okay, and he drives us crazy. So he forces us into the position of not liking her so much. Now, I know that you're friends with her and she's great.
Yeah, we go bowling all the time.
Ew,
no, I don't know. We've conversed sometimes, and you know, I've sat in with her once, but like, I'm not like, I don't have her on speed dial or anything.
And I'm not suggesting that, by the way. I was just saying you did a very nice job with her song. That's
oh, thanks.
All I was saying. I thought it was really good. All right, one other thing, and you guys are going to make fun of me for saying this too, but I have to ask.
Great.
True or false that you were born on November 10th, 1975?
True.
My favorite day in recorded history, the day that you were born.
Oh, God. Is that the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Oh, no! No!
That, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Adkins. I didn't know until yesterday, do a little deep dive research.
Oh,
you were born on the day.
Get out,
of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
No, save yourself.
That's
the legend lives on. That's
magic.
Wait,
Jeff.
Was it the day they all died, or was it the day the song came out?
It was the day of the ship sung.
How is that your favorite day? Even if this is your favorite song, how is all those people dying your favorite day of all time?
I feel terrible for the
for the
sailors that died. I do. But just in terms of my fascination with a historical event that has never left me, it's almost like the spirit of Captain McSorley entered into baby Jim Atkins' body when he was born. Like, he's the living personification of those men. I just...
So you have like a replica of the studio up there, and you can just play whatever you want anytime?
Yes.
Well, you gotta have...
Stop playing the world's worst song.
You gotta have Gordon Lightfoot at the fingertips at any
right.
time.
We heard it. We've heard the whole song now. It goes on for 15
now,
minutes.
Stop let's playing. Bring it full circle. When is
if
there gonna be
stop
a,
playing it.
A Jimmy Eat World cover of The Wreck at the Edmund Fitzgerald as a tribute to your birthday, Jim? That would be awesome.
I'll submit it to the committee.
I think you guys would do a killer version of this.
Yeah.
I really
all right.
think about it.
Good. We've heard your song, Bean. We'll never see Jim again. But thanks for coming in this time, Jim.
Amazed.
We've had a great relationship with you at K-Rock, and we very much appreciate all the time that you gave us.
And I was in awe.
And we don't blame you for not coming back. I wouldn't come back if I was
it's been great, guys.
Any dates that we can find out about? Playing anything?
We'll be releasing more information very soon about our fall plans.
Love it.
Our dance card.
October 21st, Integrity Blues is going to be the new and ninth album from the band Jimmy Eat World. So happy to have Sure and Certain back on the radio. So happy to see you again, and happy Fitz Day to you.
I got nothing.
Same.
No.
Comedian Felipe Esparza joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is coming up. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, too. I just want to say, Kevin, you're awful. You're an
Why
awful.
Why am I awful?
Because you're looking at a photo of a guy who's 145, and you're mocking him for not being physically fit enough for you.
Well, I mean, that was off the air.
Yeah, so his skin's a little saggy, all right? He's 145 years old. What's he supposed to do? Come on.
A little.
The world's oldest man, by the way, has not been independently verified, but apparently there is paperwork on a guy who says he can prove that he was born on December 31st, 1870. He has outlived all 10 of his brothers and sisters, all 4 of his wives, the last of whom died in 1988. All of his children are dead. He does have some grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
What a terrible life that is.
And great-great-grandchildren. But, see, this is why I'm wondering. I mean, we hear about people who are 120, 121, something like that. No one's ever been 145 before. What's this guy's deal? If this is true, how did it happen?
I mean, how did he keep living?
I don't know how to answer that. He didn't die until now is how that happened. But the important part to this story is he really wants to.
He is ready. He's ready to go home.
Let him go. Just let him go.
He says his quote is, "What I want is to die."
Oh, my God.
That's his quote. His gravestone was made in 1992 when it was anticipated he would soon die, and that was nearly 25 years ago. So we wanted to find out more about this, and I hope he can hear us okay. We asked Dave if there's any chance we could talk to Mr. Mbagatho, and he is on the phone. He is 145 years old. Hello, Mr. Gatho.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. How do you feel today?
Old.
Yes, yeah. You're very, very old.
Why are you so suspicious, by the way, of my age?
Bean does not believe.
It has not been independently verified. Some people are saying. Never hear someone this old.
Buzz doing his impression of Bean. You're very sharp, sir.
Who would make this up, I wonder?
The reason I'm suspicious is because...
asshole?
No, no. It would be like if a guy said, I ran a 3-minute mile. You know what I mean? It's like, how can you be so far physically ahead of everybody else in the world in recorded history? It just seems unlikely that somebody could be 20 years older than anyone else ever.
Okay, but it is the way. I just haven't died.
Okay.
And why is that?
Because I never tried to run a mile that quickly.
I'm going to accept that you are 140.
Oh, that's nice of you, Bean.
I'm going to accept that.
You're quite a guy.
So what do you, and I hate to ask, but everyone asks old people, what do you think is the secret to your longevity, sir?
Well, I have lived. longer than other people.
Right. 145 years old.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People come Some and they say to me, Mubba, Mubba, do-do-do-do-do. Mubba, Mubba.
Do-do-do-do.
Mubba, Mubba.
Mubba's funny.
Do-do-do-do-do.
He is.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Very sharp. So, is it, can you tell us a little bit about your diet and exercise, maybe?
I would rather not.
Okay.
Because I just want to die.
Oh, you just want to die. That's
sad. So, I say goodbye to you now.
Okay.
Oh. And I look forward to seeing you again in heaven, perhaps sometime.
Oh, that's sweet.
Are you talking to Bean?
Goodbye.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I missed.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
The very funny Felipe Esparza, stand-up comedian and actor, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here. Time for Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Gene Wilder's passing is really bothering me. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I think we should play Would You Like to Take That Back with God? See if maybe he'll give us Gene Wilder back and take someone else instead.
2016 has been brutal for beloved entertainers.
A lot of bad. A lot
Terrible.
Of bad. Gene Wilder, of course, a genius actor and comedian, a star of so many wonderful films, especially the ones he made with Mel Brooks, which kind of put him on the map. The producers, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. And then his partnership with Richard Pryor in the second half of his movie career, where he did Stir Crazy and Silver Streak and so many great films with him. But for a lot of us, he's kind of synonymous with the role of Willy Wonka from the children's movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I think the reason he made such an impact in that film is because although the movie was targeted for kids, Wilder's performance never was. He allowed himself to be genuinely scary and disturbing and odd and never watered down the performance because he thought it was going to be for kids, and children just responded to that. You didn't know what to make of Willy Wonka. You fell in love with him, but at the same time, you thought he was a little strange and a little scary. And at the end of the film, spoilers, when he attacks Charlie, who's visiting his chocolate factory, and his uncle, there is a genuine menace and terror to that scene that I remember even watching as a kid being deeply affected by. And then, of course, it all works out at the end. But here is Gene Wilder. Although his anger was often used for comic effect, in this scene where he turns on Charlie, just a chilling moment in a film that you wouldn't expect it from.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And Charlie just puts his head down and slowly starts to walk out of the office, brokenhearted.
I was so sad.
It's a great moment from a great actor. So he passed away at the age of 83 yesterday, which is sad news. Meanwhile, for example, here's a trade-off we'll take. Give us back Gene Wilder, and you can have Chris Brown, right?
Sure.
Deal.
Done.
Deal.
Done.
Los Angeles police are currently seeking a search warrant for Chris Brown's home in Tarzana this morning to look for a weapon that he allegedly used to threaten a woman with this morning. This according to multiple law enforcement sources. A woman dialed 911, a call for help in Tarzana around 3 a.m. this morning. She said that Chris Brown pointed a gun at her during a violent rage before she ran outside to use her cell phone to call police. Police sources were not authorized to speak publicly about this case because it is currently ongoing, but they did give that much information to the press, and apparently now the LAPD currently waiting to get a search warrant so they can go into his home and look for the weapon. So that's he's
this
a
guy's bad weapon, news right? Just consistently.
Man, he is awful on so many levels. Kevin, you were gone, but did you happen to watch any of the MTV Video Music Awards?
I watched Future's performance, which was a little underwhelming, and then I moved on.
You didn't watch Britney's return to VMAs?
No.
Britney, bitch!
Right.
She was on stage, and she was dancing.
Right.
Then she grabbed Danny Zuko's crotch, or whoever that guy was. Looked like he was in Greece.
G-Eazy.
G-Eazy.
G-Eazy, right?
G-Eazy. Well, G-Eazy, he's got the life. I don't know if you saw the new photos that just surfaced online this morning, but it is G-Eazy after the Video Music Awards, having a good time, snorting blow off a girl's boobs.
Oh.
Yeah, photos are online. You can see him doing lines of cocaine off of a girl's boobs while everyone stands around and takes pictures.
That isn't good for you.
Actually, it's great for me.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's been a long time, but I remember it being terrific for me. I remember it being not good for me at all. It made me very happy. But here he is. Here's
the picture.
Here's Jeezy.
Wow.
There's the girl, and there's the boobs, and there's the cocaine.
That's happening.
That
I mean,
sure
it
is.
Doesn't look like he's having a bad time.
No, that's quite the life right there. So, look, the guy worked with Britney Spears. I think he deserves a little something for his troubles.
Sure.
Right? Because she could have easily bumped into him or knocked him over or something or tumbled. She's a mess, isn't she?
She is a mess.
So I just want to make sure I don't misunderstand. Now we're down on starting cocaine off a woman's chest?
Who is? Not me.
No, Ralph's standing up for it.
All right, so we're all okay with it.
No, we.
Beans? There's video on
Snapchat. Can you see Bean snorting coke off a girl's
boobs? I would give anything to see that.
You'd give all the money. And while we're talking boobs, I want to give everybody a heads up. September 8th. Circle your calendars. That is Free Porn Day. Free Porn Day.
Isn't every day Free Porn Day?
Yeah, pretty sure.
No.
Pornhub.
Because the world's largest adult entertainment companies have come together to announce hashtag Free Porn Day to be held September 8th, 2016. On this day, porn fans worldwide can virtually access any full-length porn film for free with no strings attached. Usually you have to use just the clips or whatever that you can find on some of those compilation websites. But this time you can go to Evil Angel, Vivid, Met Art, Kink, all your favorite sites, and you can get an entire feature-length film, stream it for no price.
This is great because it's so hard to find porn.
I know.
You know?
And I need a good 60 minutes, you know? I can't be satisfied with a 3 or 4 minute clip.
Right.
For my purposes, I need a couple hours because it just...
Some character development?
Yeah, he needs a storyline.
I need to get emotionally involved
with
the people I see in the film or else I can't enjoy myself.
I barely know who this woman is yet. I don't want to see her take her top off.
Right. How am I supposed to establish a relationship with her in a mere 3 or 4 minutes of something that's purely physical?
Does anybody need that much porno?
Anyway, Free Porn Day, September 8th. Hashtag Free Porn Day.
Have you seen porn? How could we not enjoy it?
Right. And Taylor Swift is not fit to be a juror.
Oh, no.
Nashville, Tennessee decided yesterday she is unacceptable, they said, because of all her badness, said an unnamed source.
How about that?
With the Nashville, Tennessee Public Service Commission.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a source that you were quoting.
The
story is falling apart quickly.
No, it's not.
All right, Ryan Lochte, what else happened?
Here's all you need to know. She went for jury duty, okay? And they said, no, thank you.
Okay.
Not acceptable. Please don't be here
any
longer.
Uh-huh. Do not blame
them. And the only conclusion you can reach is she is awful, and they did not want an awful person on a jury because they have very high standards in Nashville.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Yes.
What was that source again?
It was someone from the Tennessee Commission of Official Juror Capacity Society.
Okay.
All right, let me jump in here for 1 second.
Nope, we're out of time.
I know you're
so
not
much.
Looking for clarity here. But they don't let you serve on
not
a jury
interested.
If you're involved in a similar case as a defendant, and that's what's going on right now.
And
or
this,
as a prosecutor.
Murder?
This was a rape and kidnapping case, and Taylor Swift has raped and kidnapped many people.
I did not know
yes,
that.
They but realized is, that. And so
I'm not positive that's even part
Tennessee
of it.
Tennessee Coalition of National Jurists Purists. have decided she is no longer acceptable, really, to be anywhere at any time.
She is involved in a case where she is accusing someone of groping her, so they didn't think that would be a good fit since she's got that case coming up to be sitting in judgment of a similar case.
Was it Bean?
Did you grope her?
I did not.
It was a radio DJ who did it, though. But it wasn't.
What a weird coincidence.
Allegedly did it, by the
allegedly,
way.
Allegedly, right. That's true.
Yes, right.
That's true.
Bean is so quick to judge, right? What shouldn't there be a crime if you're a radio DJ and you say to someone that they were born on the day that the Edmund Fitzgerald sank? Shouldn't that be a crime?
Right, and that's the best day in history, and then you play like an hour of that song?
Shouldn't there be some sort of legal...
Retribution, some sort of... Jail
consequences. There should be consequences. Yeah. Jimmy Atkins should be able to call the police. He should dial 911, and they should come here with a search warrant.
And we'll point him in the right direction.
Right?
We'll give him the address.
Yeah.
How unhappy did you... Why do you want to make your guest so unhappy?
Look, if you found out, Ralph, today that something of historical significance happened on the day you were born, you would be interested in that information.
I don't... I'll let Ralph answer.
If I found out that about my own birthday,
that's what he's saying.
I might be interested, but I would sure as hell keep it to myself.
Right, but
I know what I would not appreciate is some stranger saying to me, oh, you know what happened on November 17th? Oh, there was a dog that once climbed a tree and flew. And I'd be like,
no, that'd be great. This is a bunch of death.
Yeah, it's even
weirder.
I mean,
this is just...
Anyway, Jimmy Atkins hates us now and you, and thank you.
That wasn't my reason.
It was
I think he was grateful for the experience.
Could you go to the tape, please?
Hey, guys. This is Jim from Jimmy World. Bean, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
There you go.
That's a very different reaction.
And I think Jim speaks for all of us.
Yeah, he sure does.
Hurtful. No, what you did was hurtful.
That is just mean, Jim.
I love him.
Why do some people tune out?
Hey, guys. This is Jim from Jimmy World. Bean, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I'm with that guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the realness.
I'm Ralph. I stand with Jim.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Felipe Esparza in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very popular, very funny stand-up comedian and actor. When people see you on the street, Felipe, do they always come up to you and say, "What's up, fool?"
They always say, "What's up, fool?"
They got to, right?
And they try to say it in my voice too. "What's up, fool?"
Do white people try to do that?
Yeah, they do. They
mostly white people, huh?
Yep. Yeah. They go, "What's up, fool?" But they add a little extra Spanish flavor to it. Like, "What's up, fool?"
Nobody does that.
No.
Well, we are bad at it, that's for sure. Felipe is going to be in town at the Brea Improv for not five, not six, eight shows this week. That's insane, my friend.
Six shows already sold out.
Wow.
Really?
Why?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are already sold out, so all that's left is Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Brea Improv.
Yes. No, we added a third Saturday show and a second Sunday show. So it'll be an 11 o'clock show on Saturday.
Maybe you should do a fourth on Saturday.
Maybe.
Like 1 a.m.?
Felipe,
with Menudo.
How do you do three?
Yes, with Menudo.
How do you do three sets of stand-up in one night?
You do it sober, man, because you cannot repeat a joke in those three shows, and I've done it before.
How many people in the audience are there for the next show?
Oh, man. Because
I assume they have to kick everybody out, right?
They kick everybody out, which is like 260 people, and then bring in another 260, then another 300.
But if there's no repeats, then it doesn't matter. But there are people there go, "Heard it!" Does that ever happen?
No, I repeat the same joke on the same show.
To the same audience?
Oh, that's not good.
I remember I had this joke when I said that the war in Iraq is still going on. The British are helping. Mexico wants to help, but they need a ride over there. I said that joke twice one time.
Oh, no.
Then the crowd was quiet. Oh, just check it to see who's paying attention.
Wow.
That's why I smoke anything before the show.
Felipe, you have been a very busy guy. We want to ask you about a couple of things that are going on in your world. You're going to be on the Eric Andre show next week?
Yes, I'm going to be on the Eric Andre show.
I love that show.
I'm the co-host.
Okay.
No, because Hannibal Buress was out.
Okay.
So they made a robot that looks just like Hannibal Buress, like a robot, and then I come in as his co-host.
Okay.
Oh.
So you're the co-host to the robot that is Hannibal Buress?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, we know what it's like to watch that show. What's it like to be on that show and not know what Eric Andre is going to do? Because you could show up for work and think you're all having fun, and the next thing you know, he's putting his junk on your face.
More than I wanted to already.
Yeah. And I think that's true of all of us.
But not only that, it's he does other stuff, like, to make the guests uncomfortable. Like, he'll put the whole studio at 120 degrees.
just to make you sweat.
Yes, and I'm there with no t-shirt. You could see me sweating, man.
I don't feel like I need that. Do I?
I do.
And then all of a sudden, you know, like I bring out a loaded pistol and just shoot one of the light guys on the show, and that throws everybody off.
Just for no reason.
For no reason.
I know when Jimmy Kimmel was there, he had somebody underneath the chair tickling his butt while making no mention of it. Like, it's just nonsense of torture.
It's nonsense. It's anarchy is what it is. Was it a fun experience for you?
It was very fun. We had one of the Laker players there, and he was not used to what was going on. He thought it was going to be a regular interview.
Oh no.
And then Eric Andre really gets butt naked, and he tries to run out.
Laker tries to run out?
Yeah, and I chased him. And I chased him. He goes, man, you better get off me, man. Come on, man. He goes, better get off me.
Do you remember his name?
I forgot his name, but he's a young player.
Too bad. Okay.
All right, so that's next week.
Yeah.
All right, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and I haven't had a chance to hear it, but I am seeing rave reviews on all of your social media about the podcast. You have a podcast called What's Up, Fool? And you had on
You got to say it right, Bean.
I can't.
I'm
too white.
Doesn't he have
What's
to try?
What's up, fool?
There you go. Thank you. You had on, what's his face, from Boyle Heights?
Father Greg Boyle.
Father Greg, who we've had on the show before, too. It is a wonderful man.
Yes, and you guys also gave some of your portions of a past K-Rock Weenie Rose to Homeboy Industries.
Nice. That's right. Homeboy Industries does unbelievable work. But you said in that podcast, Felipe, that I think you said he literally saved your life. Is that true?
He saved my life. I was doing so bad. I talked about it on that show, Ari Shaffir's This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I talked about how I got into this crazy fight with a guy from the neighborhood, and I was on PCP, and things got really bad. Like, I bit half his ear off.
Wow,
and he was out there looking for me, and I didn't know where to turn, turn. And Father Greg Boyle came to my house and said, listen. He goes, I don't have that many connections right now, but I know this rehab I could send you to hide out for a year. You know, you can stay sober or you want to, but, you know, you have a place to go.
Right.
Because I know they're after you. So I went over there. I was full-blown crackhead.
You had no interest in getting clean?
No
just
interest.
Just staying alive?
Wow. Staying alive.
Okay. And you got clean?
I got clean for like 10 years. Then I started doing stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Then I went back.
Is this before he started Homeboy Industries?
Yes, before Homeboy Industry.
Wow.
Before he even had a... Father Greg Boyle only had he had a beast crew that one of the homies gave him. And he'll hear shooting on one side of the neighborhood, because we grew up in Pico Gardens, mm-hmm. Aliso Village, Pico Aliso. He'll hear shootings on one side of the neighborhood.
Bike.
He'll get up from his bed, grab his beast cruiser, and go to where the bullets came from.
Aww.
And then he'll go, all right, man, everything okay?
Wow,
then he'll go ride his bicycle to the enemy neighborhood where the bullets actually came from. And goes, hey, man, let's have peace, let's get along. And sometimes they will shoot at him, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's alive if that's the case.
He's an angel, isn't he? I mean, he really is.
Yeah, I think he should be a saint one day.
I'm serious. That's unbelievable. So if he had not come along at the time in your life when he did, Felipe.
Oh, I would have been telling this story from CNBC lockdown.
Isn't that something? What a difference that one guy made. And extrapolate how many people he has helped over the years. I mean, there must be hundreds and hundreds of people who have your story.
Yes, even that one actor from that show I don't know.
You're going to have to give us more to go on than that.
On that show, an NBC crime story, I don't know. He's a gangbanger on that show.
Okay.
He's a bunch of tattoos all over his head. Mm-hmm. He was nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of a name right now, but
he's another guy.
He's another thug.
Well, I got to hear that interview you did with Father Greg, though. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's amazing.
I'm also on Superstore on NBC.
I love that show.
That's a great show.
I love that show.
Let me tell you, man. I auditioned for a lot of stuff. And I self-tape myself, which is hard to do because you're inside a hotel room with another comedian holding the camera while he's drunk, or
right.
He keeps putting the camera to his girlfriend or back to me. And I always thought, well, do that. I never got the part. So then I sent it in and I got it.
You got the part.
And I got to play a co-star on the show.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a super fun show, you guys, on NBC.
It's very diverse. They have one of everything.
One
they
of everything.
Do have one of everything. That's true, yeah. I'm so happy you're going to be on that show, Filippi. That's great. So the acting is going great. The stand-up is going great. You got all these shows at the Brea Improv this week. It just sounds like you're firing on all cylinders, my friend.
And I'm George Lopez. He hooked me up on his show, The Comedy Get Down.
Mm-hmm.
It's on BET, so I'm going to be taping that, too.
Look at that.
I'm hanging out with Eddie Griffin, finally.
You're on fire.
You are. You're going to be too big for us soon. All right. I have new information, by the way, because they have released a few tickets for some of your upcoming shows. So let me just tell you. Now the Thursday show that I previously said was still available is sold out. So the Thursday show at the Brea Improv is sold out. The 7:30 and the 9:45 are sold out on Friday night. But do you have a late show on Friday night, too?
No, we have a late show on Saturday night at 11 and Sunday at 9.
And you can still get tickets for those. So if you want to go see the great Filippi Esparza, you can do that. You can go to improv.com to buy your tickets to see him this week at Brea. Catch him while you can. Well, I'm happy to hear everything's going so well for you, man.
Me too.
And we're happy to have you. Thanks for
I'm happy to be here, man.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you, man. LA Dodgers.
That's a team that plays near here, yes.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Man.
Yep.
What are you saying, Rob?
What?
You think he
it's
would
all
be,
good. Everything's
be
good.
Arrested?
All good.
He had a vacation? You think
what?
Come
We're
back
all good.
Full of energy.
Everything's great.
Sharpness.
Right.
How many times did she tell you the song was ending? How many times before you turned on the microphone and got
three,
to work?
But for a full-size person, that's one.
Ralph, as you were walking in, we were talking about tomorrow's show, and Kevin innocently, God bless him, he doesn't know. He said, hey, guys, we should do What's Good tomorrow. He doesn't know we killed that feature while he was gone.
You guys killed it?
I don't think we killed it.
Well, according to Ralph, the listeners killed it.
Well, it's awful, because it's been awful.
Oh.
It hasn't been great.
Okay.
And by not great, you mean awful.
It's been horrible.
Yeah,
you're saying not
thank you.
The best thing that we do.
No, mm-mm. You're missing the point. Mm-mm. Awful.
We had some unusual callers, but I
feel like it's not gone. Like, we could bring it back. We need some CPR.
And with you missing, Kevin, Bean would go in, he'd wade into the pool of badness and splash it on himself and just, this water's fine. And he would sit down and everything, and everyone else like, get out of the water, it's filled with piranhas. He's like, this seems lovely to me.
Bean
tell
always
me more
asks
about
15 questions too many.
Tell me more about your schooling.
Look, that happened.
I am interested. Bad on top of bad.
I am interested in people's
I say we do
stories.
It. Let's do it.
All right.
You should ride more public transportation and just sit next to strangers and start conversations with
destroy them. Destroy
them. But don't do it to the rest of us.
We can try it again tomorrow morning.
Why?
That's what you want. Because Kevin can save it. Because maybe Kevin was the X Factor. Maybe Kevin was the guy who was keeping that feature on track.
What happened was I get bored much quicker than Bean, so I just move on.
Yes.
Yeah. We needed the phone case. Ringing a few times.
Okay.
We needed that. For sure.
Okay.
Every call.
I'm sorry you're a nervous chef. Let me tell you more about it.
You say nervous chef?
You heard me.
Those words were spoken.
We talked for about 8 minutes to a nervous chef who had a bad job interview.
But then we did a follow-up the next day.
You have no idea what it's been like.
What are you talking about? You did a follow-up.
You don't know, man. You leave us behind. You leave the kids behind with the abusive parent, and you're just like, I'll just go to the kitchen. And you don't know what. You don't see the welts and the bruises when you come back.
I don't. I haven't noticed any of that, except for some of the features that we used to do are dead.
All right. Well, listen, we
did a service to the nervous chef.
We're not.
Those words said.
Yeah, of course they were.
Okay, wow. We're not quite there yet. Let's get through today's show first. It is time for a final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
We're still all mourning the passing of Gene Wilder, a genius, so talented. Comedic timing, maybe unlike any other. An actor who could play both sides of vulnerability and sensitivity and a mild kindness and then flip on a manic, crazy, angry switch that would just be hilarious. He was a terrific actor before even being funny. And one of my favorite moments from one of his best films, Blazing Saddles, one of the many films he did with Mel Brooks along with Young Frankenstein and the producers. There's a moment in Blazing Saddles, which, by the way, could never be made today in a million years, which is a shame because it deals with prejudice and racism in an honest, funny, smart way that was way ahead of its time when it was made in the 70s. And now that it's sort of its time, no one would allow you to take a frank look at racism the way this film does.
But Cleavon Little plays the sheriff of a small town. And everyone in the town is surprised when he shows up and he's black. They had no idea he was black. And as you can imagine, their reaction to him goes from, oh, great, we've got a new sheriff, to one that's not that.
That's less than that.
And Gene Wilder plays a recovering alcoholic gunman named the Waco Kid, and he befriends the sheriff. They become very good friends. And in a lot of ways, this sort of was the precursor of his relationship with Richard Pryor. He'd have in later films. In fact, Pryor was a writer on Blazing Saddles. He was supposed to play the role, but never did. And he's describing to them that you can't really be surprised that these small-town people are reacting to you the way they are. And he gives them some sage advice.
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny. Make yourself at home. Marry my daughter. You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
They're just morons. It's just a great touching moment that is unlike anything that Gene Wilder's known for. But it's just such a great moment in a great film. And he was a terrific actor. So sad. Passed away at 83 yesterday. You know, morons. There's a brand new documentary called Wiener that's supposed to be on Showtime in October. Boy, I guess they need to write a new ending for that documentary, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah. The movie Wiener will have its world premiere on Showtime on October 22nd. The film debuted at Sundance Film Festival and won the Grand Jury Prize for a documentary. However, there is some talk that they may have to update the film, at least put maybe a little tag at the end of it before it's shown. We'll wait and see if they change the film or not. But, of course, Anthony Wiener once again in the news for, once again, sexting with a woman that's not his wife. And apparently his wife is no longer going to be his wife. That seems to be the news. So.
Now, what about, look, he's a horrible person and deserves bad things to happen to him. But my question is, what about the woman that he's sexting with who then goes to the New York Post and sells all those pictures and turns him in?
Look, there's no real heroes in this story except for maybe
no one looks good, right?
Huma, his wife. But, it's a bad luck on everyone.
But Huma and Hillary are still together, right, according to Ali?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Is that your conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy theory central.
They're lovers.
It's a very big. That's what people are saying. Like, oh, it doesn't even matter because she's been with Hillary for years. That's the conspiracy.
Why
theory.
Do you hate the possibility of having our first lesbian president?
Oh my God, you're the worst.
Do they double date with Gail and Oprah?
Oh my God.
Are they lovers?
Oh my God.
You don't know, man.
You don't know,
you
man.
You don't know.
Dancing with the Stars Season 23, the cast finally revealed. For those of you who have been waiting with bated breath, let me run through some of the people who will be dancing for the coveted Mirror Ball Trophy. Amber Rose, Olympian Laura Hernandez, Ryan Lochte, another Olympian, will be dancing as well. Janet Kramer, Rick Perry, Republican presidential nominee Rick Perry.
Okay, there's one we've heard of.
James Hinchcliffe.
Sure.
Babyface. Jake T. Austin, Calvin Johnson, Vanilla Ice, Marilu Henner, Tara Joel, and Marcia Brady herself, Maureen McCormick, will all be dancing. So congratulations to everyone.
I know about five or six of them, I think.
Right? Look, this is the show that you do when you're on your way up or when you're on your way down. That's the
one or the other.
One or the other. And apparently Tara Joel, we found out earlier this morning, is a little person. So they're going to be dancing.
Not on the way up, though.
You don't know. She could be on her way up. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lewis Black is 68 years old today. Actor Michael Chiklis turns 53. And actress Cameron Diaz celebrates her 44th birthday today. Real quickly, if I may, tonight is the night Fathom Events is putting on a special screening of the movie Yoga Hosers in selected theaters around the Southland. If you wanted to check out the new film, written and directed by Kevin Smith, starring his daughter and also Lily Rose Depp. Johnny Depp's in the film. I show
Ralph
up.
Garman is in the
I
film.
I show up in the film as well. If you want to check that out and see a little special introduction from Mr. Smith himself, you can go to fathomevents.com and find out where it's playing near you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, that movie opens up everywhere for the rest of us this Friday, too, if you want to see Yoga Hosers. Hey, real quick, we didn't have time to do this today, but there's an amazing Call of Duty event. If you're a fan of the Call of Duty franchise, check this out. The Ultimate Fan Celebration is happening at the Forum this weekend. This thing is so big, it is already sold out, by the way. It's Infinite Warfare, multiplayer, Call of Duty World League, live musical guests, paintball, laser tag, and more. 18 and up to go. If you want to win a pair of tickets, you can right now at 1-800-520-1067. Call of Duty fans, this is going to be an experience of a lifetime. Be caller 20 right now. Good luck from K-Rock.
All right, the so-called helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win this afternoon with a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Tyler Labine, we have our Bachelor in Paradise report, and we've got breakfast with Sting. Yeah! I didn't know it wasn't even done yet. The kids were cheering.
Oh, they're so excited.
Breakfast with Sting tomorrow morning. Yeah! There you go.